Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, 866-901-ADAM.
What is with the Jew?
I'm here.
866. What's with the other Jew?
What is with the Jew?
Damashek, Teresa, not ready. Bruska running around.
Here.
Everyone chasing it this morning.
Shut up.
Well, we've got two shows, so there's a lot of excitement today.
Right. I will take your phone calls at 866-901-ADAM if you have anything to say. We're going to the Playboy Mansion tonight, so we're going to be doing two shows. Today, something is... Everyone's clock is a minute and 45 seconds off or something, even mine. I walked in and I thought, oh, I must be a little bit early this morning. Early for me is 2 minutes before the show starts instead of 15 seconds before the show starts. But I walked in and everybody was where they normally aren't. They were back in the office.
Yes.
They were doing around. I even sat out in the car and listened to the radio for a little while before I came in. I was in such a leisurely mode. And then I walked in and nobody was in here. And
look, Buster, do yourself a favor and walk away.
There's no Dave.
Dave still isn't. And then the show was beginning. It's as if it is 2 minutes earlier outside of the studio than it is inside the studio.
Yes. When I looked down at the clock, it looked like I had a good 2 minutes to walk 20 feet. I didn't think I was going to have trouble.
Yeah, you know, and the thing about time is it is relative, baby. I mean, the way you realize, I don't know, when you get into radio, you understand time very well, but there's a couple things that makes me realize. One is we were,
Dave Damashek.
Look who's honored us with his presence, everybody. Dave, to what do we owe this unexpected pleasure, David?
What's going on?
David just rolled in. Yeah, when you watch two guys fight in Astroglide like we did the other day up on the roof, you realize just how long a minute is. And when you do radio, you really understand how long a couple of minutes are. You know, there's a lot of... I think normal people were just sitting in their den and someone said, you got 3 minutes to get up off of this sofa, make it into your car, turn the car on and start backing out the driveway, they would sprint. Radio guys would watch a little more TV and then rub one out and then slowly start making their way to the car because you just realize how much ground you cover in 30 seconds, how fast stuff actually does happen if you think about it. You know, if you do this, you have to play a little little time game. When you're in front of your microwave and you pop something in the microwave, again, don't do it for 1 minute. Do it for a minute and 11 seconds. You don't have to pick your finger up and move it. Don't do it for 30 seconds. Do it for 33 seconds. Real time saver. But
you are a blinding, brilliant light from heaven.
Pop something in the microwave for a minute and 11 seconds and then hit thing. And then while it's cooking, you find a little busy work. Maybe I'll go take a leak in the bathroom off the kitchen. I'll come back. You're going to take a leak. Come back, rinse out a couple dishes, look up, there's 22 seconds still left. It passes slowly or super fast, depending on what's going on. It's weird how flexible time is. You've lived a minute, an hour, a day, your whole life. You've had thousands of them in the bank. Yet, man, when you look at that alarm and you see that there's 3 minutes left before that alarm goes off at 4 something in the morning or whatever time you people wake up, that goes by in a heartbeat. Yet you see those guys beating the crap out of each other in the Astroglide, and that minute seemed like a lifetime. Certainly doesn't seem like three times as long as what that alarm thing was earlier with the snooze bar. It is amazing that that can happen, and I understand it happening when you're a kid, because when you're a kid, you haven't experienced many of them, but now that you've experienced thousands of minutes and hours, doesn't it seem like you'd sort of be able to pace it a little better than we do now? Or at least it would all feel the same? Be nice if the sleeping hours felt the same. You know, the time you spend in the dentist chair felt as short as it does when you hit the snooze bar.
Hold on, dude.
Yeah, your head gonna explode?
What are you doing in my bedroom?
All right. Also, it's funny that we all agreed without talking about it that it was going to feel like 2 minutes earlier outside of the studio than it did inside of the studio. Every single person who's working here, maybe except for sound effects guy Brian, was caught off guard by this morning's show. Well, speaking of this morning, this evening, we're going to the Playboy Mansion and doing a show. So maybe everyone is sort of saving up their energy. Def Frat Guy is going to come into the studio this morning and do a little talking with us. Also, Juliana DePandy, she's the one from E! She's the one who was dating Bill Rancic.
Rancic.
Whatever his name is. Bill Rancic from The Apprentice. He won the first season. I don't know if they're still together.
I'd be curious to find out because there was trouble in Paradise last time
They hit a little road bump last time they were in here. Well, I was listening to her talk on the radio and I heard her talking about being very serious about him on a cell phone to another radio show on this station. And then he got out of the car. And when he got out of the car, she said I'm trying to think who the hell she was talking to. It was talking to an entertainment show that was on this station over the weekend, Free FM out here in Los Angeles. Can't remember which show it was. But the point is, as soon as Bill left the car, the person she was talking to said, are you serious? Do you really have plans? You think this guy may be the one? And she was like, please. I just said that because he was sitting here. Now that he's out of earshot, no way. And she started laughing. And then the guy said, well, aren't you worried about? And she said, there's no TiVo in radio. But as it turns out, there is.
You happen to be listening.
I happen to be listening.
And we taped it and played it for him.
That's right. And he laughed it off and she laughed it off. But you could tell there was a little tension there.
Does anybody know for sure if they're still dating?
She's coming in today, so we'll ask her.
I bet you $5 now, since I'm already in the for $5,000 the Corolla.
Well, you remember, I bet Bill $100 that they'd be broken up by the end of the year.
That trumps my $5 bet. This will be exciting to see. Yeah.
And if he's single, Teresa, perhaps he could come over to your house and you could make him cry.
No, I'm not his type. But she really won me over when she came on our show, and she was very honest about the hard times they endured after that TiVo radio segment here.
Yeah, there was some tension. He seems old-fashioned. She seems like almost like a role reversal. I think he's a little more old-fashioned. He'd like to settle down. She's playing it fast and loose, wants to keep her options open, and I'm not sure how that's working. All right, I'm going to the phones. Who's there? Oh, wait a minute. Let's see. Kyle, hang up on this person. Hang up on yourself, Kyle. Let me talk to you. Oh, no. All right, well, he hung up on... All right, anyway. You didn't have to... Hey, all right. Poor Kyle's having a hard time this morning. Well, 866-901-ADAM. Again, I'll take your phone calls.
Kyle has been charged with picking up Ruska's Halloween costume later this afternoon, so he's got a busy day. Yes.
He wants to go as a cheese wheel or a piece of a hanging salami.
Ruska, what will you be going as?
I'm not saying.
We discussed after the show yesterday, Ruska going as a panini. And how we could make that happen.
It takes almost nothing.
Teresa, what are you going as?
Do you want to know?
Shoot.
I thought we were going to keep this a surprise.
All right.
Secret. Well, I don't know. I don't care. Do you guys care?
We can take suggestions also. I mean,
Shut up. From
co-staff members, but I don't care. We can talk about it.
All right. Well, what are you going to go ask, Teresa?
It's like one step above a pirate girl. It's not good.
What is it?
Go-go dancer.
It's good. It's, you know what, though? It lends itself to your look. You have Thank that you. Sort of 60s look. Hey, buddy! She don't have the teats to pull off a pirate girl, but she sure as hell can get herself a nice little paisley miniskirt there and shake it around with a blouse. Sheila, stage 4. Go on over to her house and pleasure yourself in the living room. Drink her Gallagher cancer. All right.
That's right. It is a little mini dress, kind of an Austin Powers thing with some boots.
Mm-hmm. Caller?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Matt.
What's happening, Matt?
Nothing. I was just going to say hi to do a shout out to someone on the radio.
All right.
What?
Where are you calling from, Matt?
Palm Desert.
What are you going as this year for Halloween?
Austin Powers.
Ooh, timely. Maybe we could hook you up with Teresa. You know, she's going as a go-go dancer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are you going to give your shout-out?
Yeah.
If he says yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Are you giving us a shout out, Matt?
I'm giving a shout out to Don Atherley out in Carlsbad today.
All right, yeah.
Just dynamite.
What do you do, Matt?
I work as a carpenter, apprentice carpenter.
So you heading to work?
Yeah, I'm almost there. I got about 2 more minutes.
You guys start pretty early.
6:30. We got to be there by 6:15.
Wow, that sucks.
Yeah.
Now, what's it like during the summer working out there? Must be hotter than hell.
Oh, man. My first day, I threw up.
Nice. And do you eat off a lunch truck?
Sometimes, yeah. The roach coach pulls up, and I get hooked up.
Yeah, it's a horrible life. Yeah, I got to tell you, you know, the things that people take for granted. I mean, how about just access to a computer or a telephone? Huh? You know, how about a job? I mean, people have cell phones now. When I used to be a carpenter, no one had a cell phone unless you're a, you know, doctor or the president or something. But just the fact that you could pick up the phone and make a call, just the fact that you could get on the computer and check your bank account or something like that, you can't do that. You're just isolated, just sit on a pile of drywall with a bunch of racists. Actually, it's comfortable because you either have whatever race they're racist against or the racist. That's your choice. Yeah, am I right?
Yeah, you're right.
So there's 18 Mexicans, and there's 3 white guys, and they're all racist. And the white guys will make Mexican jokes sitting amongst the Mexicans because they will deem them as the good ones, and they don't even realize that's offensive. They think it's a compliment. Listen, I hate almost all Mexicans. You guys are cool. Baltazar, you're one of the good ones. Anyway, when you see a Mexican riding a bike, why shouldn't you run him over? It may be your bike. They're laughing up. And that's how it goes. And you have to, if you're sane, you just feel uncomfortable sitting in between the two. But they just sit on a pile of drywall and eat whatever came off the roach coach. And if it gets too hot, you can drink from the hose.
Yeah.
It's a great life. All right, Matt. And you're just at the apprentice phase. You're just a goomper, right?
Yeah, I'm just an apprentice right now. I'm learning the trade. Hey, can you do a shout out to Mike Mitchell and George Payne?
No. No. All right, Matt. How old are you?
22.
And this is it. You're going to be a carpenter your whole life then, right?
Yeah.
Nice. I see more for you, Matt.
What do you see?
I see prison. It's actually step up. It really is.
I was already in prison.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
All right, buddy. Then you're doing good. You keep your job. You fight to keep it.
Yeah, all right, Adam.
All right, Matt. Don't get on them drugs. Hey, all Matt. Right, Matt,
yeah.
What kind of project you working on?
We're building a school.
Nice.
Adam, do you think he was in for a drug offense, or can you guess his offense?
Yeah, guess my offense.
I'm going to go with some drugs, but also he has some multiple problems. I say his last one was a parole violation.
Nope, I've never been in trouble for drugs.
But you've been in trouble with the law before.
Yeah, I went to prison for 3.5 years, just got out in August.
Yep. I thought it was going to be bigger than that. I was going to say he hit a woman, but he wouldn't be so proud of it. He got in a bar fight.
No, he got drunk and ran over somebody.
Hey,
what?
I was at a party and somebody pushed my girlfriend. I hit him with a beer bottle.
Nice.
That's pretty close.
Well done.
And what it? Wait a minute. I went to a party and got a beer bottle broken on me, and the guy didn't do any time. What'd you do to him? Did it kill him?
No, I didn't kill him. He just had a big cut in his head.
Okay, and that's it. 3.5 years for that.
Yeah, in Arizona.
Uh-huh. And no priors prior to that?
No, just as a juvenile, just stupid drinking, you know, minor consumptions and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So some record, but not a long one.
Yeah, not a long record.
All right, buddy. Well, the point is you're out and you're building a school.
Yep.
Okay.
But, thanks, Adam. I'll see you guys later.
All right, man.
Bye.
Good times there, buddy. Here's $10. Never call the show again. You see the guys I had to work with?
Well, he's on the straight and narrow now.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I lucked out. I got Vietnam vets who were strung out on painkillers.
Having flashbacks and post-traumatic stress disorder when they heard a jackhammer.
That was nice. Let's see. Where's Pat O'Brien been? Chris wants to know.
Oh.
Made out with Sarah, wants to say hi.
Whoa, this is amazing.
What's his name?
That's Master.
Master.
Oh. Yes, Master.
Yeah, what's up, man?
What's going on?
Nothing much. Just getting to work this early morning.
Master is the 6'5", maybe 6'6" man of color who I called a tall glass of chocolate milk. The LA Times was offended for Master when they wrote about him because they're such liberal pussies, and this is why I can't stand the liberals. They're angry pussies. They won't admit it. There's two things the liberals won't admit. One is that they're very angry, super angry, mostly about white people, but they're super angry. And the second part is that they're pusses. They're scared little pussy men. And they got offended for you, Master, although I would love it if someone would call me a tall glass of chocolate milk.
You know what? I went home and all my friends, they loved it. I was, I cried a little bit.
There's a lot of homos from Santa Monica who work for LA Times who, if they could just sit you down for long enough, would explain to you why you were a victim of a hate crime in here why you should be upset and why you should talk to one of their faggoty friends over at the ACLU and straighten things all out. Believe me, you're angry, Master. You just don't know it. You've been beaten down by the white man too much. You don't even know it. You got to talk to some of the folks from the Times. They'll straighten you out.
Oh, no problem. You know, if I ever give a damn, maybe I will... I'll go and talk to them.
Right. I know. I now love the fact that it's super whitey liberals' job to be offended for other races. That they care more than the race themselves.
That's like saying that they're not smart enough to know when they're being offended. That's offensive.
That's the beauty of the super leftist liberal. They're actually more racist than just the whitey guy from the right because they are condescendingly racist. You don't know enough. You're not smart enough. We'll lower the test scores, and then I'll tell you when you're offended. And if you guys start raping each other inside the Superdome, it'll be our fault. No one will say anything. Yeah, Master, you coming to the Playboy Mansion tonight?
Most definitely. I'll be the big whoopee cushion.
Oh, you're going as a whoopee cushion?
Uh-huh.
Hmm. Huh. Now, there could also be a Whoopi Goldberg tie-in here if you wore some dreads and put some bad glasses on.
And shave my eyebrows, right?
Shave your eyebrows. And then tell us you're going to do an hour worth of stand-up comedy, but don't tell any jokes.
Okay,
That's how we'll know. But you rail against Bush. All right, Master.
All right, Adam.
Good to see you, brother. All right. Yeah, I think after Phil Angelides came in here, the LA Times wrote a little story about how he stood still while I just sat here and made my racial remarks. He didn't do anything about it. He was in the other room, but he should have stormed in and ripped the mics out. Should have ripped the cords out.
Is that right? I missed this article completely.
It was basically the heading. Well, we'll find it. We should find that LA Times Phil Angelides thing. But it was the basic angle of the article was he was invited onto our morning radio show, and he sat idle while I made these racially driven off-color remarks, and then came in. And then just didn't interview, didn't say anything about it. He didn't storm out. He didn't try to correct me.
And also, he let you get away with slamming junior college.
Yeah. Phil, I'll talk about a compelling argument for junior college when he was complaining about how expensive junior college was. I said, are you high? It costs like $8 a unit to go to junior college. And he went, what about the books? I was like, well, buy them used at the bookstore. Well, they're still expensive. Well, just sell them when you're done then. Yeah, but still. Look, do you know anyone who can't afford junior college? If you can't afford junior college, you can't afford shoes to walk to junior college. I don't know what it is, a quarter. I don't know what it is, a semester. It's probably just by the unit. But it's as close to free as free gets. What's the argument? College should be free? Hey, man. If some really stupid Hesher is a senior in high school and he's pulling straight D's, or maybe he's dropped out and wants to take his GED, we should make it free for him to go to college and waste his and everyone else's time. Yeah, you're right. The politicians are... But first off, they love to hide behind little things like education and stuff like that. If they were living in the real world, if these people were really smart, they'd realize that 75% of the people in high schools... And by the way, in California, where we're 47th in education, 47th out of 50, you know what percentage of those people are going off to college? About 15 or 20%, maybe. The rest,
no.
We got to go...
Really?
We're 47. We're not Massachusetts. We're 47. We're 47th. The reason we're 47th, California, is because more than three quarters of our students in high school aren't going to college. Seemed like that was about what it was when I was over at North Hollywood High. I didn't go to college, neither did any of my friends. Junior college does not count. Anyone can go to junior college. It doesn't count. That's the McDonald's of university. That's not going out for fine dining. That's like saying, can't afford to go to a nice restaurant. That's McDonald's. Anyone can go. I'm not counting that. Over three quarters of the people don't go to college. So let's get them some vocational training. Those people need to work, and they shouldn't be working for minimum wage. Let's get them jobs as apprentices, electricians, pipe fitters. Let them learn auto body work or assembling, mechanical, anything, whatever, stenography, whatever. Let's teach them a trade. Let's be realistic. Instead, all we do is talk about college. 80% of the people who are in high school don't go on to college, and now we're befuddled. Huh? Why are these people poor? They don't have a skill because you kept talking about college or they weren't going to college. And what do we need? A society with nothing but college graduates? Nobody's going to pick up the garbage. Nobody's going to fix the sprinklers. Nobody's going to wire up your house. No one's going to build your house. No one's going to pour the foundation for the house. No one's going to manufacture anything. No one's going to... Really? Is that what it is? We just have a society filled with doctors, lawyers, and CPAs? That you think that's going to work? Who's going to drive the buses? Cops? You think cops went to college? Nah. No. Is that how it works? Firemen? No. It's not how it works. Why not be realistic about it? But no, they're not interested in that. They want to talk about college.
And in fact, it's more depressing, one could make a case, that once you you go to college, even a junior college with great aspirations, and then you're doing the blue collar stuff, then it's extra depressing.
Yeah, that's
I got
nice.
A diploma for this.
Yeah, but it seems cool. It's like if you're the special forces guy that gets busted down to the point where you're driving the general's limousine. It's cool. It's a good beginning of the movie. Salvador?
Hey, Adam.
What's happening, my brother?
Oh, dude, I miss you guys, man. I just flew into to Sicily this morning. I'm here for my grandmother's will reading.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm all the way out of the country, man, 9,000 miles away.
Man, it's too bad. I had a couple of Playboy Mansion tickets I was going to give you. As a matter of fact, I already sent them over to your place. Brusco, I have to get those back. I didn't know you were flying out of town, brother.
Yeah, it'll be in my mailbox when I get back, right?
Why do you have to go there for the will reading?
I have no idea. I asked my lawyer the same question, but he said you need to be there in person.
Does she have stuff to give away?
Yeah, oh, hell yeah, man. It's I'm actually, the reading is going to be at a mini beach villa that I'm hoping to get.
Wow.
Are you single?
Yeah, actually. I just got divorced.
Nice.
I just got divorced.
So you may be getting a villa in Italy?
Yeah, it's in a little beach community called Mondello.
Any of my family members kick off, I just go to their house to get the crap I gave them to bring them back. Take my dad and mom's car back, and that's about it. I just end the lease on their cars. Sorts, I guess.
Yes?
Teresa, you know what? When I was married, my wife would watch The While You're Out, and I swear I used to watch it just because of you. I love you, honey.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm sorry to hear about your grandmother.
Well, she was sick.
She's in Italy. Point is you're single now.
Yep.
You have a villa in Italy, perhaps, potentially.
I think I will. And
maybe more. Teresa, single. Hmm?
You into go-go girls?
Oh, absolutely. Who isn't? Dave, come on now.
Perfect. Now, what do you do besides collect on the belongings of deceased relatives?
I'm an executive sales for a major water distribution company.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. When do you get back into the States?
I will be back on Tuesday.
Hmm. Maybe you and T can tee up a little date.
Oh, I would love to. T, I'm 30 years old, 6 foot, good-looking Italian guy, I've heard, I guess. I don't know. I don't rate myself. But
no, I know. I don't judge a dude's look either, because that's gay.
I would absolutely love to meet you, Teresa. Absolutely.
Well, the villa doesn't hurt. I mean, that's a plus.
You know what? If I get the villa, Teresa, you're gonna have to meet me then, right?
Well, listen, if you came in and Adam and Dave approved,
mm-hmm,
I might go out to lunch with you.
All right, Salvatore.
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. Hey, Adam, man, I love you. I've been listening to you since Loveline, and I love the Adam Carolla Project. I can't wait for the next one, if there's going to be a next one.
It's a good question. I don't know if I'm going to do another one. I lost $50,000 doing that show, you
but
know.
But what about what the viewers gained?
It was a big pain in the ass. I could totally see that. And Ray was a big pain. But I loved Ozzy, and I'm glad he's a big part of your show. And
well, thank you.
Huge fan, man. Huge fan.
Thanks, Salvador. We'll see you when you get back from Italy.
Thanks, brother. Take
care. All right. All right. We need to take a break. We're running late. This kind of reminded me, Brusca, do we have an open break next break?
Yeah.
Here to a blank break. I've often thought about, you know, people dying and leaving stuff behind. It's kind of a, I don't know if it's the greatest thing you can do. It's sort of catch-22-y. If you have a loser child and you leave them a house, then that kid ends up moving into the house or selling the house. It seems like a windfall for the kid, but in a way, the kid never knows what it's like to go out into the world, make his own way or her own way, and get the money down and do what it takes to get a house. I've lived next to a few of those losers who had the house dropped off at them, and it's like you move in a possums into a house. They're not ready to live in a house. They don't mow the lawn or paint the place every few years. They just squat it. But what have you gotten left, or what are you going to leave? I wouldn't leave my kid. You know, I know kids that have gotten a nice lump when they turned 18 or 21 or something, and they just went up their nose and they bought a sports car and it was all gone in 6 months. How would you do it? What have you gotten? I'm interested. I don't know. I don't know what your folks have. Teresa, you've had your stepmother passed away,
yeah.
and then your
Well, stepfather. Wait a minute.
Stepfather. Yeah, two steps.
Yeah.
So not much to leave behind. Did you get anything?
No, and I'm pretty sure I'll be taking care of my dad. He'll be leaving me debt.
Yeah, the Corollas don't have much to leave behind either. But I'd be curious what your stories are and what you'd either received or left behind or are planning on leaving behind, I should say. 866-901-ANIMAL. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Tonight, the Adam Carolla Show is live from the Playboy Mansion. It's Adam's Halloween party, Blotto and Negrano, with Hugh Hefner.
To these lucky ladies up here, it's Johnny Gristle.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Not once did I say a playmate say one of her turn-ons was f***ing a 75-year-old man.
3-6 Mafia. Playboy TV's Jesse Jane and adult film star Tara Patrick. Tonight at the Playboy Mansion. You can't get in, but you can hear it all tomorrow. We'll replay the show starting at 6 a.m. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. Also, I want to thank our sponsors at Miller Lite, Scores Las Vegas, and TravelWorm.com. Those were some excerpts taken from the roast of Hugh Hefner, me and Kimmel did some years back out of New York City. Actually, it was probably about 10 days after 9/11 we did that. We were getting on an airplane and we're flying to New York to do our roast, as I recall. And everyone I spoke to when I was talking on my cell phone on the way to the airport, when they said, "Where are you off to?" "New York." "You're flying?" "Yeah, I'm on the way to the airport right now." "Oh, man, no way. No way could you get me on a plane.
Better you than me."
"Yeah. All right, buddy. Hey, man, enjoy yourself at the Cinnabon before you take off, because that may be it." And I was like, I had to explain to everyone I was speaking to, "You understand I'm on the way to the airport. I'm not asking you, should I fly to New York sometime next week? I'm saying I'm on the way to the airport to fly." That's the whole thing. If somebody says they want to get a mullet, tell them, don't do it. If they then get a mullet, tell them they look good. It's a better life for you and them.
More importantly, who was funnier that night, you or Kimmel?
I have to say Kimmel, I'm sure. The thing about a roast is... although I was pretty funny. The roast is it's its own sport. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think he'd done a few of them. I think that was my first one. I've never done a roast. And a roast doesn't really lend itself to what I'm best at, which is not doing anything. You know what I mean? You have to show up and do something.
Well, you were there, and the big story about that was that Gilbert Gottfried was making 9/11 jokes just weeks later.
It'd been long enough. It'd been almost 10 days.
Was it? They didn't show it on the air, but was it pretty offensive?
The thing about all those things is, well, yes. I mean, Gilbert Gottfried just goes out there and goes out there for shock value. And at a certain point, you have to whiz so bad, and you've been sitting there so long. And you've heard, you know, what's more offensive is Dick Gregory, legendary comedian Dick Gregory do 45 minutes on how Hugh was a pioneer in the civil rights movement with not a joke to be found. That's more offensive when you're sitting up there. You'd rather hear Gilbert just do his aristocrats thing and do a little 9/11 stuff, and at least you're laughing. As uncomfortable as it is, you're laughing. And yes, he did the aristocrats joke at that roast as well, which was a very funny but time-consuming. All right, now, we wanted to talk about inheritance and what you were leaving and what's been left to you. Sure, there's a lot of cautionary tales about people getting left too much too soon. Also, we were talking about the Los Angeles Times, I believe, and we had a little unfinished business because they wrote an article when Phil Angelides came in here highlighting his appearance on this show a week or so ago. What do we have on that, T?
Well, this ran October 20th, and here are just a few snippets from the article about Angelides' visit. An anonymous voiceover also alluded to Angelides' ethnic background with a sexual innuendo. Angelides let it pass without comment. He's Greek.
If you'll recall.
Yeah. Guess they didn't like that. And then Angelides, who discussed issues while joking with Carolla, did little during the broadcast to defend Carolla's targets, including students of California's two-year community colleges. And then they quote you, and you never remember the funny things you say, but this is actually pretty funny. Here's your quote. You get a hacky sack and a dime bag and a moped, you're into any community college, Carolla said. Then added after Angelides said 300,000 students have dropped out over the cost, quote, that's because their stepdad kicked him out of the garage and they had to get a job.
Well, everybody, again, do the math in California. We're 47th. That's in high school. We're 47th out of 50 in high school. Now, imagine, since junior college is essentially a storm drain of stupid people, it's all the stupid people that get washed out of high school end up in junior college. Imagine what our junior college system is like. You know, it's like, if we were a major league franchise, we would win two games in a 162-game season. Imagine what our farm team looks like.
Well, they then said that you went on to ask him, can you change it to junior college just to bring a shame element to it? Because I feel like it's a graveyard that stupid people go to die.
Well, they say they're going to college. And then people, and a lot of people get away with this. So what's Brandon doing? What's he doing? He's 19. He's like, oh, he's going to college. Oh, good for him. And then they walk away.
This is my favorite part because it's the most subtly part. It's the article that digs at you with the most subtlety, the part of the article. It says, now, when Angelides was here, he was following a segment where we had the 72-year-old meth head making out with the young African-American
Master,
male.
Master, yes.
Master is his name. And here is a piece from the article. Carolla made a joke about a, quote, May casket romance.
I was laughing when I read that, too.
Playing off May, December, and said Sarah, that's the 72-year-old, had a case of jungle fever, a pejorative reference to white women attracted to black men. Carolla is
pejorative.
Carolla
name of a movie that was out 20 years ago.
Fever.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
By black man.
Carolla is the... Now, this
and
I
Dave
thought,
made that comment as well.
Yes, and this I thought was a subtle dig, but I'll have to ask you what you think. Carolla is the former host of the canceled television program The Man Show. Now, it was not canceled when you were on it.
No, it was not. And yes, they get to keep their journalistic integrity because, yes, technically The Man Show was canceled. And yes, I was the former host of it. But I think if you asked 100 journalism students to read that statement, they would assume that I was on the show when it got canceled. This is the beauty of journalism. You get to sort of dance around the truth. You enter whatever article you're writing with a very strong opinion about the person you're writing it about. And then you either make it insulting or you make it famous. Favorable, depending on whether you like that person or not. Facts, not so much a priority. Yes, the show was canceled, although it was very successful when I was there. Of course, they wouldn't want to point that out because it doesn't make me look stupid. And again, as I've said many times, because I've had many articles call me things, brain sports aficionado. I've heard Dr. Drew smugly preens on Loveline while I talk to 17-year-olds. Look, you cannot like the product, but what you can't do is lie. What you can't do is make things up. You know, go into the restaurant, review the food. Don't say the waiter had an attitude when the waiter didn't have an attitude. Don't try to round out or at least give more credence to your story. The reality is they don't have much to go off of. That's the problem. Phil Angelides came in here. We had a good time with Phil Angelides. We laughed it up. We talked about some issues, and then we moved on. Nothing really went down. They have no point of view.
Well, and if they needed one adjective to describe the man show, there are probably dozens which would have been accurate. They could have said long-running. They could have said successful. They could have said hit. Instead, they said canceled. After 5 seasons means it's a successful show.
Right, that's right. MASH was canceled after 12 short seasons.
Right.
All in the Family only made it 8 or 9 seasons.
They canceled All in the Family.
Friends, Seinfeld, they've all been canceled. Yes, The Man Show. I did 100 episodes in. They begged me to do more, and I said, no, thank you. And then they canceled it 20 episodes later. Yes, you rarely use canceled when you're talking about a show that's been successful and been on the air for 5 seasons. Now, and they certainly wouldn't have done that for a show that they liked or a comedian that they liked. I'm sure if Janine Garofalo was talking to somebody, they wouldn't have talked about one of her old shows as canceled that ran for 5 years. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if you can say that, or if you can, then you just have to technically say it about every single show that's not currently on the air, but that was at some point. That's my whole point. Look, you're journalists, you pussies. Write your stupid thing, and whatever you think of me, put that aside. Because you're supposed to be talking about events that took place that morning. Yeah, The Man Show was canceled after 5 years.
I don't know. Listen, I hate to be devil's advocate, yes. Adam, but I don't know why the people are supposed to be tolerant of your junior college bigotry. By the way, you are a trailblazer in that. Everybody, there are a lot of garden variety things that you could be against, but junior college.
Junior
things,
college
this
is where
thing.
I take my stand. Yeah. Yes. All right. We will, because I know none of those guys are smart enough to write a letter. See, normally, if you strike out against coal miners or ditch diggers or garbage men, you're going to get some misspelled but hate-filled letters in the mail the next day. First off, junior college people don't wake up while this show is on. Their first class is at noon. And secondly, I don't want to see something drawn in crayon. They can't write a letter. That's the other thing.
They have to cut out words from magazines and
paste
Elmer Gloom.
That's right. And then they eat the paste and pass out.
Adam, you bad.
That's right. It's like Frankenstein writing a letter. Now, look, here's who gets to go to junior college. People from other countries who were educated in their country and came here and couldn't get into a major university. That's right. Ask Kim Chi. And nursing students. Those are the two people I'll accept. I want all white people out of junior college. If anyone from the Times is listening now, they're in a real quandary. He said he hated junior college, but he also said he hated white people.
What do we do?
Man, because we love junior college, but we hate white people too. We're really at a crossroads. All right. Brian?
Yeah, what's up, Adam?
What's up, brother man?
I am actually driving south on the 5. I'm actually heading back home.
All righty.
It's a great story.
It's good stuff.
I wish he'd gone.
Now, who else has got some stories?
I'm sorry.
Sorry, Brian.
Anyways, my dad owns the largest construction company in Alaska.
Really?
I grew up in the business.
Mm-hmm.
I did everything from learning how to do the foundation all the way to the finish work.
Mm-hmm. So he had a big company, and then he passed away and left it to you.
No, he hasn't passed yet. In fact, my point is it's kind of a lot of times unmotivating
to have
kind of have something coming to you. Does that make any sense?
No, I absolutely believe that. And look, everybody, this has just got me. We're talking about inheritance here and what you're being left. I really believe that the same people are capable of doing everything, amazing feats of motivation and nothing. If somebody had dropped off a few million bucks over at my house when I was 19, I would still be living in the garage over at my dad's house in North Hollywood. I mean, you can cut yourself off at the knees. This is why communism doesn't work. This is why. Here's the deal. I was screaming about this in the nursery last night, when my wife told me to shut up. I was scaring the kids. But here's what you need to succeed in life. You need either competition, which is, hey, man, there's somebody else. He wants that job, too. Or he's fighting for that place on the football team, too. Or he's doing your job and says he's going to do it better and cheaper. Business. Competition. Competition starts early, but it forces you to step it up. Mark the Poet used to call in this show. He was horrible. Then Damashek's cousin got on the phone and started writing poetry, and all of a sudden, Mark the Poet's game went up, I would say, tenfold. No problemo, almost overnight. Did he know he had it in him? I don't know, but as soon as there was competition, he had to do something. Now, there's two things you need. You either need competition, or you need somebody yelling at you, holding you accountable. School teachers, drill sergeants, football coaches going, what are you doing? No, that's not good enough.
Get
no, that's not going to cut
scumbag.
It. You want to know why everyone in the city is a douchebag? You want to know why no one fills any potholes? You want to know why nothing works? No competition. There's nobody else that's going to fill potholes faster than them. And as far as people yelling at them, well, get on the phone and see if you can get someone to talk about traffic on this show. It's been 9 months now. They don't return calls. So you remove both elements. No competition, no commanding officer. That means zero. That means horribly inefficient. You need that in life. You need to be hungry. And if you leave your kids a bunch of stuff, then they lose their hunger. Now, you can leave them incrementally. You can leave them things incrementally, but I don't think you should drop it off all at once. Let's see. One more thing. Dad's new wife took everything. Joanne?
Hello?
Your dad's new wife took everything when he kicked off?
She did. She took it all because she got mad at us.
Mm-hmm. How much was left?
Well, he worked for the airlines for 37 years, so he had a 401k that was, we don't even know how much it was worth, but he had obviously put money into it for 37 years.
Yeah, but that's his wife now.
Well, they were married for a year, and they dated for less than a year.
Mm.
So he was married to my mother for 25 years.
Yeah.
It was brief. They went on a trip, and he died on the trip, and then we just questioned her about all his, collections and things that he had saved from.
Right.
That he said he was going to give to us, and we would have shared with her, and she just got pissed for us even asking about his things, and so she just sent back gifts that we bought them.
I see, but either way, Joanne, you got to make your own way, right?
Oh yeah, no, and we do, but we it was probably just more the shock of gosh. I mean, I guess we just kind of got.
No, and she's not going anywhere anytime soon because she's how old?
She's in her 50s.
Right. She probably has another 30 years.
Probably. And we didn't, it wasn't even, we all, actually, the three of us, the three girls, we all have careers, and we were doing fine. It was just the point.
No, I'm hip. That would anger me if your mom and dad were together for 25, 30 years. They broke up. He gets sort of a younger trophy wife, then kicks off, and it all goes to her. She doesn't know you. She knows you as an adult. She saw you twice on Thanksgiving, and that was about it. And she's got all the dough, and it's essentially a stranger with peroxide hair is coming to the family and taking all the dough that dad has worked for over the last 40 years. It's kind of a weird setup, isn't it? Strange, too, because as an adult, when your dad hooks up with someone, if my dad got remarried now, I don't know that I would know my stepmom. I mean, for Christ's sake, I see my dad twice a year. I'd probably see her once or twice a year. As an adult, again, would be one of those weird things, right? Mm. It's not like she wouldn't feel like a family member. I wonder if there's laws for that.
Yeah, she gets everything and she can leave it to her kids if she'd like to.
That's the best part. All right, we'll take ourselves, she wants to, and she has a son who wants to open a ranch for pedophiles. Sorry.
I thought it would be an island.
An island for pedophile. That's right.
Yes.
What's coming up in the news?
Well, Madonna finally discussed her adoption yesterday on Oprah.
Mm.
I'll play a little bit of that for you.
We'll get to that. And surprise, surprise, I have thoughts about that. We'll talk about that plus sports after this.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
12 flavored condoms, check. 6 are Azima, check. 1 bottle of Grecian formula, check. 1 unused barrel of Astroglide, check. Oh, hey, what up, peeps? Jackman was just going over his list for tonight's Blotto in the Grotto Playboy Mansion Party. Hey, but first, we got a hell of a show to do. Def Rat Guy in studio. We'll play What's Wrong with This Country. And a hot piece of cooch, Juliana DePan, who will visit us. Hey, that's a technical term, peeps. 2 shows in one day. Hey, I don't think I can afford the Ace Man's overtime. Late.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it is time for the beautiful Teresa Strasser and the news.
President Bush today is going to be signing a bill authorizing 700 miles of new fencing along the United States-Mexico border. This is going to give GOP candidates a platform for asserting that they are tough on illegal immigration.
You don't keep people out with a fence. The fence doesn't work. Unless you're trying to, you know, unless you're building a prison, then you got to build a fence. Keeps people from leaving. But fence, well, a low fence don't keep people out.
A high fence?
Yeah, I'd say high fence would work just fine. I don't know why am I... I walk around all day wondering if I'm taking my crazy pills or not. We want our borders. It's illegal for people to come into our country without documentation. It is that we have border checks and guards and things like that, right?
Right.
We don't want people to come here who are undocumented and unchecked.
Right.
So we'll put a fence up and we'll try to stop them from coming in.
Well, Mexico is not happy. And,
of course they're not happy.
They say it's shameful, and they compare it to the Berlin Wall.
To be fair, they're pretty hungover. Yeah, they compare it to the Berlin Wall. It's exactly the same. Exactly the same. Look, Mexico, sober up and get your crappy country straightened out, and then you wouldn't have to worry about taking your poorest 10% and sending them to our country so they could send money back to your country. Of course you're upset. I would be upset if we had this deal, too. If we took our poorest, least educated 10% of our populace, if we just took them and sent them to Mexico, and they could just take jobs over there and send money back here, I'd be pissed off if Mexico put an end to that. Of course I would.
Well, as you know, Rush Limbaugh has slammed Michael J. Fox for acting up, according to Rush, his horrible Parkinson's disease symptoms. Just to remind people that stem cell research is important, Rush saying he was playing it up. And Michael J. Fox, I don't know if he can drive, but he can certainly take the high road. Here he is on the Today Show yesterday.
What I love is we're close to an election, and we're talking about stem cells. And, you know, that's the idea.
Rush put it on the map. Now they're playing this campaign advertisement on markets that the guy's not even in, which is the effect that you have when you call something out this way. It ends up having the opposite effect. He's a big buffoon. He's going after Skippy next, by the way. Not the peanut butter, the neighbor kid.
He's just going to go after him.
He's put on a few pounds, so he's going after the morbidly obese, yes.
Okay, well, Madonna was on Oprah yesterday, and she was setting the record straight about the adoption of her baby, David, from Malawi. She said that the baby, I was surprised by this, the baby had been at the orphanage in Malawi since it was only 2 weeks old, that had never received a single visit from any family member, including the father. And here's what she said she knew about that baby's condition.
Here's what I knew. That David had been living in this orphanage since he was 2 weeks old, that he had survived malaria and tuberculosis, and that no one from his extended family had visited him since the time he arrived. So from my perspective, there was no one looking after David's welfare.
Yeah, but the dad, in just a short 18 years, was going to head over to the orphanage, get the kid so he could hook him up to a plow so he could drag his field when he got back to his hometown.
Madonna also made the point that the worst part for her was that she felt that people would be dissuaded from adopting children who needed homes in African orphanages.
Do we have another clip for her?
No, she just said she was concerned that... seeing everything that she had gone through, that now people won't adopt these children who obviously really, you know, could use the help. And she talked about the difficulties over there in Malawi.
I know everyone hates Madonna. Everyone resents Madonna because she's amazingly successful. Look, she's a blowhard. There's no doubt about it. And why don't I hate Madonna as much as I hate Britney Spears? Why don't I hate Madonna as much as I hate Nicole Richie? Because Madonna actually produces a product.
Yes,
you will about her. She's a very interesting artist. I don't think she has the greatest singing voice. I don't know if she plays the best guitar, but she creates a product and she evolves and she changes and she's interesting. I don't think I would like her personally that much. I'm not sure if I agree with her politics, but let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. She evolves and she's interesting and has an interesting product. Secondly, everyone hates her because she's rich and people have this thing. Hey, just because you're rich, why does that make you any different than anyone else? Let me That's how we've set up our society, children. That's how it goes. What makes you get to drive in a bigger car, in a nicer car? Why do you get to stay in a penthouse? Why do you not travel in steerage? Why do you drive? Why? Because you're rich. Why first class? Why this? Why that? Why everything? We have based our total society on that, except for two things: taxes and adopting kids. And in which case we go, hey, whoa, what's going on? Why? Where are you going? Just because you got money? Just because you got money, that's the foundation that our society is built on. That's how everything works. Yes, she has money, which means she has connections, which means she can speed up a process like trying to save a young kid from Africa. Who cares?
Yes, and she made the point that she's invested $3 million in a project.
Well,
there.
So what? Why? Why should she get? Why, just because she gave a little money? Well, you know why? She's rich. Yes, she earned that money. She worked very hard. She has paid enough taxes to build 1,000 parks that your kids are squatting right now with their delinquent buddies drinking Mickey's Big Mouth. She's paid for all those parks. She's paid for all the hospitals. She's paid millions and millions and millions in tax money. And as if that wasn't enough, she gave another $3 million so they could build some orphanage over there in Africa. That gets her in front of you in line. That's how it works, and I'm fine with that. And if you have a problem with that, you got two choices: get in the back of the line or go make some goddamn money and move up to the front with Madonna. But what you don't, the choice you don't have is running your fat yap about it. shut up, get in the back of the line or get in the front of the line.
Well, Shut Up and Sing is the name of the Dixie Chicks' new documentary.
Yeah.
It's a story about the tour they went on after Natalie Maines made a controversial comment about President Bush. Now, if you don't remember, here's the comment she made in England about Bush.
We're ashamed the President of the United States is from Texas.
That was made just before the United States sent troops to Iraq, and obviously...
It was before.
Before.
And, you know, you're doing a bad job as a president, and at least in the eyes of the folks from England. They started cheering before she got to the end of her sentence.
Yes, you can't even hear the end.
We're ashamed that President Bush...
play it again for a second.
We're ashamed the President of the United States is from Texas.
I don't even care.
Her Texas part is drowned out by the cheers. What was the big deal about that comment?
Well, a lot of people were upset because it was made on foreign soil. You're not allowed to attack the... Free speech is only for when you're within the confines of this country, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The country music fans really turned on the Dixie Chicks, and they still are not selling out the arenas that they used to.
Wow.
They went on Oprah, they discussed it, and Natalie Maines, I thought, said something interesting. She said that she still owns what she said instead of doing what celebrities kind of do these days.
Oh, sorry, didn't mean it. I was drunk. Let's go to rehab.
She's never said that.
She's a zesty gal. That's what initially attracted me to her back in the
day.
Now,
is she the one you took to the Grammys or took you?
She took me to the Grammys.
Really?
She called me up and wanted me to escort her to the Grammys.
And this was before she was married.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know...
Yes.
No,
yes, weren't married.
No, it was not.
And you had a good time.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. She's
plucked
gorgeous.
Her banjo.
She's a great singer, too.
Oh, yeah, she does more than sing with that mouth.
Now, was she nominated that year?
Huh?
Sorry. Was she nominated the year you went?
Yeah, they were nominated and they won.
Really? So were you sitting in the chair and when they went up?
Yes, I was sitting right next to her. I was her date. And they won, and I knew my girlfriend would be watching on TV, so when I stood up, and everyone stood up, and then hugged and embraced and kissed their spouse or whoever they were sitting next to, because the other two girls had brought their husbands or fiancé, so when they stood up, it was like a hug, and we gave a hearty high five. Like, I gave...
You high-fived her when she won a Grammy.
I hugged her about... picture Jack Silver wanting to give you a hug.
Yes.
That's how I was you hugging Jack back. That's how it felt. Yeah.
Okay, well, Sacha Baron Cohen, who plays Borat, the Kazakhstani journalist, has a movie coming out called Borat: Cultural Learnings of America for Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan. At the London premiere, here's what Borat had to say.
Well, I have come here with Bilak, my 11-year-old son, his wife, and their child. And we are hoping maybe to put maybe some chocolate makeup on the child's face and sell to Madonna. I am hoping that Madonna will be a very good father for it.
And that's Borat. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Dave.
Game four of the World Series rained out last night in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Apparently, a man named God agrees with one Adam Carolla. He couldn't have rained out the Fall Classic by accident.
No.
See, you too. You foes and so much have come together to unite to hate our national pastime.
Well, that it's way too long. Yes.
Game four tonight. Or is it?
Mm.
Waiting for your response, the Almighty. You hear about Shaq Fu? I guess that's a yes. You hear about Shaq Fu?
Yeah, went on a raid,
yes.
Right?
Sure, you know, when he's not busy dunking 137 times a night for the Miami Heat, he's been training to be a cop, yes. Matter of fact, he's working as a deputy in the offseason in Virginia. A couple weeks ago, he's part of a child pornography raid on a house that turned out to be the wrong address. Shaq and his cop pals blame the mistake on hearing this song coming from inside the house.
Uh-oh. Just tuning up the sixth string.
Yeah, John Mark Carr's theme song. I think the official theme song now of pedophiles everywhere.
Well, I hear Shaq's going into deep cover now as a Nicaraguan drug kingpin.
That'll go beautifully. You can understand why Shaq got confused when you're 7 feet one and look like a monster. Everyone looks like a child to you. The child molester was just probably a guy banging his wife.
Yes.
Now, actually, the homeowner, who's a farmer, his wife's a teacher. They've got three kids who are apparently straight-A students. He says he and his family were shocked beyond words. Mm-hmm. Of course they were shocked. Can you imagine a giant black man crash through their house like Kool-Aid? I'd scare anybody, even Kool-Aid. Hey, Shaq Fu!
Shamalama-lama. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All kidding aside, it was a very embarrassing night for Shaq Fu. He's mm-hmm. accomplished much in the NBA, one of the all-time greats. But on this night, he was no better than all those pedophiles who've been stung by the same beast. Matter of fact, you'll be seeing it on the next To Catch a Predator. Here's an advanced clip.
Get on the ground, spread them, because I want to lock you up.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Say that again.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
First of all, I'd like to give my apologies.
Why did you come here, though? Help me to understand.
You dance in the phone to my favorite song. Trying to get to you and that monkey.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad. I could probably teach you a few things, like, you know, some positions and moves.
You're a weirdo like me.
Wow, it started out awkwardly, yeah. But I think in the end...
They found some common ground.
They
yeah.
did, like you and God. And mm-hmm. Thank goodness for the NBA's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All righty. Well, we're going to take ourselves a little break. We're talking yesterday about Tom Cruise... Katie getting married. Tom Kent, Katie getting married. We were discussing, I guess it was after the show, I brought up some horrible weddings I'd been to. You know, cash bars. I had a wedding where it was paper plates and a sack of chips. You know those little sacks you get from the variety pack? The hell is...
What?
Is that Kiss Rodeo? Oh, okay, thank you. Well, I'm so Pavlovian when I hear banjo, I think it's time to play Ask Kiss Rodeo. All right. Okay. Where was I? Point is, these weddings, these horrible, cheap, uncomfortable weddings. I've been to weddings where the best man has gotten drunk and stood up and made a very uncomfortable, very uncomfortable speech about how many women this guy had been with prior. People think it's funny. And the best man's speech is now turned into a bit of a roast where you're explaining all the times the guy got drunk and got with some fat chick before he finally settled down and got married to a medium fat chick named Tammy. I would like to hear your stories. 866-901-ADAM. Your bad marriages, your bad ceremonies. Either bad ones you've been to or your own crappy ones. I'll even accept horrible bachelor parties. Kimmel had a horrible... bachelor party. I've been to some horrible bachelor parties. Kimmel describes his bachelor party. I mean, he got married when he was 19 or something. It's just some of his buddies coming over with a 12-pack of warm Strohs and them drinking at the driveway of his buddy Tommy's house. It's another thing they don't tell you. Here's a good reason. Here's what I'm going to tell my kid. You know, they always do that thing like, don't get married too young, son. You want to get yourself established. You want to graduate college. You want to get your financial feet underneath you. You want to have been with a few different women and finally settle down and realize blah, blah, blah. That people give you a lot of reasons. I'll give you reason number one not to get married early. Lame bachelor party. When you're 19 or 20, Think about what you and your buddies had at 19 or 20. Probably only one decent vehicle between the four or five of you. And then what were you going to do? Go to a lame strip joint, sit back and drink cherry sodas? When you get older, oh, man, I mean, I've been to bachelor parties where people are flying off to Canada, flying off to Mexico. Whores. You know they have those chocolate fountains at the weddings?
Yeah.
Chocolate fountain just keeps coming out and you dip stripes. We had a whore fountain.
Wow.
In Mexico, we just fired it up, and it's same thing as a chocolate fountain. You just dip your penis into it, and then come back. You didn't do strawberries, core fountain. Oh, you can only get them in certain parts of Mexico. Puerto Vallarta is a good place to get the whore fountain, and it costs a little extra, but it is awesome. It's a little pump at the bottom. It's not like it's a new whore coming out every right. time. They recycle, just like the chocolate just keeps pumping it back up to the top. Whore drops down to the bottom, goes in the kitty right into the bilge pump, then fires out the top again and cascades down. That's right. Whore fountain. Point is, get a few bucks in your pocket. You have a good bachelor party. All right. Weddings, disasters, bachelor party, disasters. We'll talk to you after this.
And we're back to the Adam Carolla Show. If you have a crazy wedding story, we want to hear from you. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
You know, the other thing that strikes me about weddings is I'm looking up on the screen and seeing Kelly's boobs kept popping out at her wedding. Chicks overdo it. Chicks that are normally hot, women that have, let's say, beautiful long blonde hair, get it all put up in a bun. And then they sprinkle little angel's breath
guys
around
don't like
it.
That.
And they go berserk. And then the makeup artist makes them look like a clown painting. And you can take a beautiful woman and make her look like a mannequin that was made up by a teenage boy to have sex with in his basement, is what you end up looking like. I've seen beautiful women overdone.
Yeah, they look like trannies because it's their one big day and they're going to have a professional makeup artist and then they load the
And their hair, which is not going to look better than how they normally wear it, which is long and flowing, gets shoved up and put in a bun and gets a bunch of crap in it and gets decorated like a Christmas tree. And so the bride, who's normally walking around at a 9, has now turned herself into a very expensive 7.5 who smells like a French prostitute. Thank you. Kelly?
Yes.
Your boobs kept popping out at your wedding?
Yeah, my dress, when I had got it fitted, the lady kept saying, don't raise your arms up because you may pop out the top. And towards the end of the night, we got pretty drunk and I was on the dance floor. And I kept raising my arms and every time I would, they would pop out the top and I didn't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of the groomsmen kept pushing them back in for me a couple
nice.
Of times. Yeah.
Yeah, I would have caught on to that pretty quick. Kelly, high five. What are we high-fiving? We're high-fiving our last five high-fives. Come on now. High-five awesome. To our high-fives. See those boobies. Yeah, you go with the strapless job and the boobs pop out.
Mm-hmm.
And you got loaded.
Yes.
Where'd you go?
We got married in Tahoe, so I blame it on the altitude. But the night before, we got pretty wasted, too. We both had to have IVs before we walked down the aisle. We were pretty
his and hers, over. Ivy.
Yeah, we actually still have them.
You weren't actually pushing that wheeled cart you see the old people going down the hospital hall with, do you?
No, the groomsmen were paramedics, so they actually just brought them with them just in case, so we didn't have to go to the hospital.
I like a guy who uses his own profession to help him party harder. Look, the altitude's good, the air's going to be thin, and we're going to consume a ton of booze. Let's bring some... lactate D5W, some lactate ring or stat.
Electrolytes.
Nice. Yep. All right, so you actually partied so hard the night before that you had an IV.
Yes, okay. Both of us.
Nice. Tahoe, beautiful though, yes?
Yes, very.
I think beautiful. I had my bachelor party in Tahoe. Is that right, Dave? Tahoe? I got pretty loaded.
If you don't
was
know,
it?
What do you want me to say? It was in Lake Tahoe.
All I remember is... Well, I stayed up about 5:30 or 6 every single morning. But part of the reason is my buddy Ray, and somebody was upset we weren't playing chimp sounds when I brought up my buddy
yeah,
Ray.
It's
Brian.
Ray. He throws feces.
That's right. Come on, buddy.
Ray does not like it though.
Plus, he hates it. I want to hear my.
Wait, Ray's gotten to you, Brian?
I
want to
hear
play?
Chimp sounds when I hear my buddy Ray's name brought up. Thank you. He had ringworm, and I had to share a bed with him.
At your bachelor party.
At my bachelor party. And There's two types of people you can share a bed with. There's no in between. There's two types. They're the ones that curl up into a cocoon and have half their body hanging off their side of the bed, and then the ones that look like a fat Jesus on the cross. And I, not that Jesus was fat, but if the guy's 220 pounds, my buddy Ray, and he would just spread out, legs akimbo, just, and I didn't want to make contact with him because he had ringworm. There's the kind of guys who fall asleep in a bed and nobody else is in bed with them. Meaning when I go to sleep in a bed and I'm sharing a bed with someone, I am very aware that there's another person in the bed. Some people fall asleep, they just spread out. Ray just spread out in a crucifix position, and I just had to form a snake river around his body.
How did he get the ringworm? Did he ever find out?
I don't know.
It's one of the things that happens when you sleep in a cage most nights.
I don't know, but at least I didn't have to
sitting
sleep.
Sitting in your own filth?
I didn't have to sleep in the Davy Jones locker, which was about five or six guys with Cousin Sal and Jimmy Kimmel farting up the room.
No. It was Jimmy Kimmel, his brother John, and Cousin Sal, and me stuffed into a shoebox, and they
on
all
bunk beds.
Had horrendous flatulence. And it was one of those ones where you don't even, it overwhelms you. You become saturated by the gas. And then only do you realize when people came into the room in the morning and passed out and vomited and so on and so forth, did you realize, oh my God, it's in my skin forever.
As if you were in a room full of smokers and then later on your wife could smell it on your sweater. Like I could smell Jimmy's ass. on Dave's sweat jacket. 2 hours later, Eric.
Yeah.
What's up?
My best man at my wedding, when he was giving his speech, he said, you know, on the microphone to everybody there, friends, family, that Eric and Shelby have nothing good to look forward to in life. now let's remember, this guy had a couple bong tokes and a lot of beers before this. He thought it'd be a great idea to go out in the parking lot, put a couple down.
Right. Take the edge off. He didn't like public speaking.
Exactly. Yeah, he was real nervous about it. And he said that. I looked up at him and just about died. And he looked down at me and realized what he said and quickly covered for it by saying, oh, they have nothing good to look forward to except the good stuff.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for the call, Eric. I've posed this question more than once. When did the bachelor party turn into a roast for the bachelor? You know what I mean? It used to be you'd take your buddy out of town, he'd get laid while you guys all squeezed one out in the next room, and then you went home. Now the guy's duct taped to a folding chair and everyone's whipping him with a reed they pulled from the swamp. His Pepe's out, and the stewardess, I mean, it was a long flight. The stripper's like shooting something at the guy, and everyone's covering with Cool Whip and smacking him and stuff. When did this be? You know what I mean? It was supposed to be, it was a time when the guy just go out and have one last fling and then he'd get married. Now it's turned into fraternity hazing. And then the wedding has now turned into a roast as well when the best man steps up and explains how this guy's marrying Tammy because, well, let's face it, he wasn't exactly a ladies' man. He got a little tired of choking the chicken, so he hitched his wagon to the first set of oxen that came down the old dirt road. And then everyone laughs it up. When did it turn into this? How about a mazel tov and this guy's the greatest guy I know and I hope you two last forever? And how about a bachelor party where the bachelor gets a little something instead of getting a spoon of Cool Whip thrown at his nards? Mm-hmm. Know what I'm saying?
Yes, you're right that they have in general turned into roasts, but in particular yours because you had King of the Roasts Jeffrey Ross at your bachelor party. Actually, who suffered? Oh, we have Ray on the line. Who I was just about to say has a remember what Ray did to Jeffrey Ross at about 4:30 in the morning. The gayest deed I've ever seen.
Well, I do remember Ray getting drunk at the casino parking lot, doing a shoulder roll over a parked car, and literally taking out the fender of a car.
Then he took off his pants and underpants and put what was underneath on Jeffrey Ross's forehead.
Well, what? Jeff was sleeping.
Hold on. Hey,
Ray.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Morning, Ace.
Good to see you, Ray.
Nice to hear you. And by the way, we were cuddling in bed together. Don't pretend like we weren't.
Look, I must say in Ray's defense,
but it was Jeff Ross's birthday, Ace, and he didn't get a lap dance for it.
That's the other thing. Birthdays, bachelor parties, and best man speeches have all turned into abuse for the person whose life you're celebrating.
But he started abusing you back in high school when he was putting his feces on your ear.
Thank you.
That was from the womb.
Okay, Ray. Ray, I've known since the fifth grade. Ray, tell us about putting your ass on Jeff Ross's face, and, or maybe I just told you about it, and it's Jeff's fault for passing out. Anyone who's hung around Kimmel and his cousin knows that his cousin Sal will give you something called a Yokozuna. If you fall asleep on the sofa, as Mike August did once, talent booker Mike August did once, you will get a bare ass dropped onto your face, so much so that Mike actually chipped his front tooth. He actually needed dental work from the Yokozuna cousin Sal gave him when he passed out at Jimmy's house during karaoke night. Yes, Ray, are we lying about anything? Where did you get ringworm?
I get it from cats usually. I don't do too well with them.
Why did we share a bed when you had ringworm on my bachelor party?
Because we love each other.
All right.
But how did he know he had the ringworm?
Because you could see it.
In his poop?
You could see worms through his flesh.
It's a virus, first of all.
It's not a real worm, but either way, you can get it from contact.
It's like a circle. It looks like a circle.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
You have the mark of the beast or something like that.
Right. I could have easily gotten it from sleeping with you. The other thing we forgot about that bachelor party, thanks, Ray, is that the stewardess on the flight over, on the Southwest flight over, Jimmy had farted up the plane. Mm-hmm.
The whole plane?
Well, at least the tail section.
Ironically.
So badly that the stewardess actually busted out a can of air freshener and sprayed it at him.
Really?
It wasn't one of these things, you know. A lot of times when you tell these stories, you go, do you think anyone else could smell it? Do you think the stewardess knew what was going on? Do you think other people? I don't know. I could tell that one guy had a sourpuss on. I could tell. There's no conjecture here. There's no, I think people could smell it. People complained she got out a can of Wizard from the back of the plane and sprayed it into Jimmy's face.
Yeah, but that's a nice thing, living up to people's expectations. The man show dudes were on the plane, and that Kimmel, with the fat one, was farting up the plane.
Kimmel has now done that in two modes of transportation. I was on a bus with him when someone pulled out a can of Wizard and sprayed it at him. I was on an airplane with him when someone pulled out a can of Wizard and sprayed it at him. If he could do the train, he would then complete the trifecta, and his work would be completed. All right, let's see. Heckled by shirtless drunks at her wedding. Oh. Also, one of Bruskett's friends is on the phone, wants to tell about his wedding. Mary?
Yes?
What happened, baby doll?
I thought it would be a really good idea to get married at a baseball game, but mm-hmm. I didn't foresee the drunken shirtless hecklers telling my husband, don't do it, dude, run.
Yeah, maybe if you do it in the first inning, but when was it?
It was right before the game.
Right before the game. People got drunk already. Where were you? What ballpark?
It's Tucson. It's the Tucson Toros.
Ah, it's like a AAA ball?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So guys were tailgating, guys were loaded, and they started screaming.
Yeah, like college kids. You know, it's the same guys that you see, like, at football games and stuff that are, you know, half naked. They have, like, the team's name, you know, painted on their chest, and they're hanging over the railing. And we were right at home plate, and they were just right there. And they threw peanuts at us when we were walking out there.
I'll tell you, we have the Dodgers out here in Los Angeles. Of course, I grew up watching the Dodgers. We don't really have a AAA team out here. I wish we did, because when you turn on the news at the end of the sports, it's like, hey, the Mudhens had a funny thing. They went up, they actually blew up a full-size water bison right in the seventh inning stretch. They took a live water bison, they packed its ass full of TNT, and they blew it up right in the infield. This is awesome stuff.
Right, the Toledo Mudhens used a pitcher who had no arms.
I know. They do that. And evidently, if you want to do a public execution, or you want to get married, or you want to have a, you know, mascots, fist fighting, whatever you want, it always takes place at a AAA or farm team baseball game. We don't have anything. We get hat night or something. Once in a while, they throw someone up on the Jumbotron and they kiss the guy next to them. But other than that, you don't get anything. I like it. Just for the sheer sort of geek show facet of it, I wish we had a Triple A team.
There are a lot of celebrities, by the way, who are buying up minor league teams. Perhaps you and Kimmel should do it. Imagine the debauchery you two would make.
Salak?
Yeah, what's up, you guys?
Steven Salak on the phone. He was from the TLC show I did. He was the electrician that screwed up the swimming pool, if anyone remembers. Also, good friend of our producer, Bruskett's. Like a little drunken story about Bruskett's wedding?
Not actually Bruskett's wedding, a friend of ours' wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Bruskett, in his infinite wisdom, decided to get completely drunk before the ceremony even began.
Mm-hmm.
And as the bride and groom are walking down the aisle, he's heckling her that she's a whore and everybody's
what?
Left with her.
I think that's an exaggeration.
She might not, but he heckled her the whole time, and she kept looking over at him, and he thought that he was just talking at a low tone, but of course the entire place heard him.
He couldn't modulate his voice.
I forgot at my wedding, Big Tad got loaded, got nude, and did a cannonball into the swimming pool. I think Kimmel paid him $100 or something to get completely naked and do it, jump off the diving board into the swimming pool. There were kids around. There were old people around.
Well, this woman, was she actually called a whore on her wedding day by Bruska?
No, I said, don't marry her. She's been around. And I said that out loud. And
well, been
she
around.
Actually, go ahead,
here's
Steve.
The best part of it. The best part of it is finally we quiet Jimmy down. You know, we suffocate him with our hands. And the priest asks, does anybody have any objections? He fights away from us and says, yes, I do. Yes, I. She literally lifts her veil and turns around. F you, Bruska. F you.
No way. This is true, and it's on tape.
She's a whore.
She is cursing me at the altar, and it's on tape.
How dare that who will wear white?
I didn't say it like that.
She shouldn't be wearing only white. She was wearing is on her belly.
Well, you didn't say she'd... You said she'd been around.
Not even that bad. He's exaggerating the story, but yes, I was... Listen, here's the thing. I was a little belligerent. It was many, many years ago. I was belligerent and drunk, and she did get angry, and she did curse me, and it's on tape.
Was it in a church?
Look, I see that tape.
Yes.
I could see the confused couple in the front row going, there's a drunken guy holding a panini who's screaming, who are you? What does that mean?
Another time, Brusk has done it more than once. At my wedding, believe it or not, when I got drunk, the entire time he walked down the aisle with his escort, he is scratching himself vigorously down there the entire time with his hand down his pants, and he's so drunk he doesn't even realize it.
Wow.
Everybody's looking at him like, what's going on? Well, and he's got his hand down.
If anyone wants to see that side of producer Bruskett, they can go to the Playboy Mansion, or at least they can listen tonight, because he's going to crack a few.
If you got it, it's scratch it.
All right, I think we need to take a break. I would like to continue this talk, because we got people here. Father-in-law had a heart attack and died at the wedding, puked on bride's dad's shoes, best man fell two stories. Groom was passed out on altar. Bride's dad and aunt got into a fight. I mean, it just keeps going and going and going. That's a story about Brian Bishop, our own Brian Bishop.
What?
Mm.
He's scared of Ray. Mom, he won't play the monkey sound.
Mom kicked someone in the balls. I mean, it just keeps going and going. I didn't know this was going to be such a rich vein. We'll talk to you more about your wedding disasters after this.
Tonight, the Adam Carolla Show is live from the Playboy Mansion. It's Adam's Halloween party, Blotto in the Grotto, with Hugh Hefner.
To these lucky ladies up here, it's Johnny Gristle.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Not once did I say a playmate say one of her turn-ons was f***ing a 75-year-old man.
3-6 Mafia. Playboy TV's Jesse Jane and adult film star Tara Patrick. Tonight at the Playboy Mansion. You can't get in, but you can hear it all tomorrow. We'll replay the show starting at 6 a.m. Brought to you by Miller Lite, Scores Las Vegas, and Travel Worm. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking about wedding stories that gone south. Jimmy Kimmel's on the phone. We already heard somebody getting out. Jimmy, again, at my wedding, I believe paid Big Tad money to get nude and do a cannonball off the diving board into the deep end of the pool.
Adam, was that before or after you cried?
Oh, did you cry?
All right, David.
What?
Wow.
Did Adam cry, David?
David went from hanging by a thread to falling into a deep abyss. That's right. How dare you. Big Tad?
Hey, what's going on?
Were you in fact paid by Jimmy Kimmel to jump naked into my swimming pool?
I was paid by Jimmy Kimmel, Cousin Sal, Ray. They all paid me
Ray
money.
Ray doesn't even have money.
He put some money in the pot, too.
Ray took some of the earnings that he had saved from eating one of Sal's boogers earlier in the night and put it toward another prank.
I don't even think I was drunk. I think I just did it for the money.
Yeah. It's called trickle down retard money. That's how it works. Ray gets the money he gets from eating a ball of wasabi Reaganomics. Yeah. And then gives it to Big Tad to get naked. Kimmel is on the line right now. Jimmy?
Hi there.
Hello, Jimmy Kimmel.
I just have a few corrections to make.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, when Tad says we put the money in the pot, literally we inserted it into his navel. And we did not pay him to do a cannibal naked. We paid him to do the dive of his choice naked.
All right. I was way off.
As far as Ray goes, if possible, it was undersold because Ray did not put his ass on Jeff Ross's face. Ray grabbed Jeff Ross's head and raped it, is what he did. Not with his ass either, with the front part of his body. He grabbed his head. Jeff was not sleeping either. Jeff was wide awake. We were watching like a infomercial for an old Dean Martin roast. And Ray leaped up on...
We did.
Well, that's ridiculous. Listen, ironically, the guy who's bleeping that stuff out does this almost every night.
Oh, that's nice. That's a good strategy. Get back at the man with the button. Yes, yes. Well, I had to sleep with the rapist with ringworm.
Well, let me just clarify a few things. You did not have to sleep with him. You chose to sleep with him. I was shocked that you were sleeping with him. I was like, you know, Adam's got to have his own room. This is his bachelor party, whatever. You and Ray, you paired up and went into and got into that bed together.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. James Baby Doll Dixon, our agent, who gets sick every time he pulls out of his driveway, was once again sick. He gets sick every time we land somewhere. And when you get sick, you get your own room. You get left alone. You probably won't get Yokozuna'd if you fall asleep. You get a certain preferential treatment. So he got sick or announced he was sick, and so he got his own room. The other choice of rooms was the fart cave.
Yeah, but you didn't know it was going to be the fart cave.
I did after the first night, though. That is true. When I opened that door, it was like opening a kiln door that someone had defecated in. Hot wind of gas hit me.
It was the proudest moment of my life. I mean, it smelled... Horrible. Just horrible.
It was horrible. So, given the choice between the fart cave or James Baby Doll Dixon's deathbed, I chose the ringworm, which to me was the lesser of three evils.
Ray also never let you know he had ringworm until, I don't know if you remember, we were all in like the hot tub. There was like six of us in the hot tub, and of course, we had the decency to wear bathing suits, six guys in a hot tub. Ray comes in nude to squeeze in between us, and announces he has ringworm also, but thinks it's okay to get in the hot tub with us. But
the person that really paid the price for my bachelor party was whoever owned the Taurus that he did a shoulder roll on and took out the front end.
For no reason in the parking lot of a casino, leaped onto the hood of a car and dented a car.
Well, and he took out a quarter panel.
And then a couple women came by and said, you should really leave a note on that car, at which point Baby Doll Dixon attacked them verbally.
You don't worry about it. God, keep your mind your own business. Keep on walking.
Sounds like Bruska.
Yeah. I know. That's the only time Dixon came to life is when he was yelling at those poor women had told him to leave a note.
As far as the farting goes, you have a mistake. The woman did not go, the stewardess did not go and get a bottle of air freshener from the back of the plane. She went and got a bottle of her own perfume and was spraying it around the plane.
Jimmy, can I ask you, is there a correction on Adam crying at his wedding, or is
Adam
that accurate?
Adam did cry at the wedding, but he didn't let any of us attend, so we were not able to see him cry.
How do we know?
Or better, what he did is he told that none of us can come to the wedding. I mean, keep in mind, I was not allowed to come to his wedding. which is outrageous just to start with. But then the even more outrageous part is, at the last minute, he decided to let a couple of his friends come to the wedding. Well, I was not among them.
Oh, no.
Well, what happened was... Is,
I am such an egomaniac that I've translated it to, he was crying because he missed me.
Was part of it.
That's likely.
We needed someone to carry my grandmother in her wheelchair up the multiple flights of stairs that were between where I was getting married and where she was dropped off on the street. And then the Wheeze did go because he was the videographer.
I don't think the grandmother should have been allowed at the wedding before me in the first place.
Well,
let's be honest.
You make a pretty valid point, Jimmy.
And we've forgotten one important detail from that weekend, that bachelor party. By the way, this all occurred in the period of like 48 hours, is that Ray, we're walking alongside this beautiful stream. And do you remember what Ray did in that beautiful stream?
Yes, he made a kiki.
Into his hand, like an animal. And then his wheeling.
He was finally released back into his natural environment.
Threatening others with it to throw it at.
I remember he squatted. He was down by the stream squatting over his hand, and I ran up and said, Ray, knock it off. And then Jane Goodall approached me and said, please do not interrupt this process. Please don't do it.
It really was. I realized at that point that while we all thought it was a novelty to have Ray around, we really were not of the same species, and we should not be traveling together.
Well, like I've told you, we used to, this was such a problem in high school that there would be parties called DTR parties, Don't Tell Ray. It was understood that this was a party, you were welcome, we were going to have a good time, but it was a DTR. Do not tell Ray.
Yeah.
And if he came, you couldn't get into the party. Ray? Ray?
Hey,
can you hear me?
If you guys keep going like this, I'm not going to the Playboy Mansion.
I know you don't like it when we play the chimp sound effects.
Okay. I can't stand that.
Oh,
no.
Ray, please. I'm putting him on hold.
There's no common sense whatsoever. Ray's mother came to the show, and I think it was the first time I met her. Ray was working with us. Why, I have no idea. But Ray's mother came to the show, and I like to be nice when the parents of the employees come to the show. And I said, well, you know, we're all very fond of Ray. And she said, didn't I do a great job with him? And I said, no, you did a terrible job with him, but I've been able to repair some of that damage.
Ray's mom, who speaks with a thick German accent and did much more cooking for me when I was young than my own family did, once said about Ray when we were all sitting around, she used to work at a bar in North Hollywood, and we're all sitting around at like 24, 25, longing for the old days. And I was saying, I wish I could go back to high school. That was a good time playing football, being a big man on campus. And somebody else said they wanted to go back in college. And she said, Ray wishes he could crawl back inside of me. And then later went on to say he was squeezed out of a bar rag. That's how he was born, which Ray denies. But I heard Mom say that, Ray. I'm sorry. All right, Jimmy. We're going to see you tonight.
Ray's not going to be at the mansion tonight, is he?
Yes, he is.
Oh, my God. Ringworm in the grotto?
That's the latest Playboy special.
He'll be there, Jimmy. So he'll get drunk and get you in a headlock. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it sounds great.
All right, Jimmy. We'll see you tonight at the Playboy Mansion.
All right. Good time.
Well, it's true. I guess the stewardess didn't spray. She actually sprayed her own perfume. She probably didn't have any, you know, air freshener on the airplane, because who would think that that circumstance would arise where someone would be such an animal that they would fart up an entire flight.
Wait, was Ray at your wedding ceremony?
I think
he might.
I remember it, what happened is I said, look, I don't want to do, and this is the way I want all marriages. This is how I think all marriages should go. You should go get married. You should have just your parents and, you know, three or four family members, and of course the bride and grooms, both sides, get married and then show up and have a big party.
Right.
People don't want to pack into the church and watch you guys exchange vows. What we do want to do is get our booze on and toast you an hour later when we're deciding whether we're going to get the chicken, the fish, or the beef. So I said, well, let's just make this as small as we possibly can. I'm not going to bring any of my friends. I'm not going to bring anyone, just a skeleton crew. And then what happened later is DeWeese had to hold the camera, and Ray needed to actually carry my grandmother up the stairs. So it turned into a couple buddies. And that's where I think it crossed the line in the Kimmel clan.
Yes.
All right. We got to take a break, but I'm sorry. I want to talk about the best man who fell out of the two-story building, or the father-in-law that had a heart attack and died at the wedding. I'll try to be fast, Brusket. Matt?
Yeah.
Father-in-law.
What's up, man?
Father-in-law died at the wedding.
Yep. Turned out to be a blessing, too.
Nice. Why?
He had a huge life insurance project. So when he passed away, we were taken care of.
So he dies, you get at the wedding. He literally dies at the wedding.
Yeah, I guess he wasn't too happy.
When did you find out? I mean, was he taken to the hospital and you found out the next day, or did you find out there?
Well, he fell over right in the middle of the wedding, and it kind of stopped the whole ceremony for a while.
Mm-hmm. And the paramedics picked him up, took him out?
Yep. And then everybody got all upset, and that was about it for a while. We ended up having to get married a couple months later.
Nice. I would tell my wife to be that this was a sign and that we should not get married. And if so, and she wanted insisted on it, I would say, so you're ready to sacrifice another innocent person so that we may be wed? Because yeah. I would look at it as a sign. All right, so he's out of the picture and you got his money.
Yeah, he had a multi-million-dollar life insurance policy, so I take that as a present.
And you didn't like him much anyway?
No. He was a dick.
Aww. His name was Richard.
You sound like you make a wonderful parent, man.
Hey, we're taken care of, so I took it as a present.
And how much were you making at the time? What were you doing?
I was doing all right, but I'm doing a lot better now.
The 20-minute that you put in front of all right is
unemployed.
Is not a good sign. What were you doing for a living when he keeled over at your wedding?
A pharmacist.
Pharmacist?
Yeah.
Evil pharmacist.
You mean like drug dealer?
Yeah, you were selling drugs. You're no pharmacist. Yeah.
I like to plead the fifth on this one.
Okay.
There you go.
So this guy's dealing speed he cooked up in his apartment, and the old man kicks off and leaves him millions of dollars. He probably shot him a speedball or something in the bathroom. Moments before they were going out, he was like straightening his bow tie out in the mirror. He came walking up. Hey, Pops, how you doing? Slapped him on the rear end. Ow! What was that sting? Moments later, massive coronary. Interesting. Matt sounds like a delight. Yeah. I was selling meth, and father-in-law, who... I like when people who are despicable have a problem with people that don't like them. You know, that they do that thing. This guy was an a-hole. All I was doing is unemployed, banging his daughter and cooking up meth, and he didn't think I was good enough for her. He could have possibly had a point. I know you think that makes him a bad man. I think that makes him a sane man and a loving father. All right. We need to take a break. One more. Puked on bride's shoes, dad's shoes. Best man fell out of a two-story building. I like that. Chris?
Yeah, how you doing?
Best man got drunk?
Got super drunk. We had an open bar, and he had a young date and was showing off and running around and smashing champagne glasses on his head and hitting on my best friend's mom, trying to get something to...
And he fell out of a two-story building. Again, another reason not to get married young. When you're young, when you're getting married at 19, 20, 21, all your friends are 19, 20, 21 in a free bar?
No, this is 28, and this guy was a doctor.
Wow.
A pediatrician.
Thank you for crapping on my story, much like my buddy Ray would do. But still, apropos to getting married in general... Don't get married young. You still have young friends getting booze. This guy was a doctor, but he still got his booze on. And then he fell.
So he tried doing was sliding down a banister. That's a two-story banister down to the patio.
Mm-hmm.
It only got about a foot on the banister, lopped right over, fell onto a giant planter and cracked his ass open all the way.
Blood and everywhere. He had to leave, go to the hospital?
Well, there's blood everywhere, but while this is going on, I'm in a limo and my...
new wife is on the floor laying there, and I'm seeing an ambulance coming into the wedding. I'm worried that, oh God, Grandma or Grandpa dropped dead.
Right.
I had no idea what was going on until the next morning.
So
I had 150 stitches, had to do a skin graft, and had to stay in the town for a week.
Yeah, and it's not one of those good stories either. It's nice when you know people say, "What's that scar? Sword fighting or defending the honor of my wife?" Or there was a hostage situation in a liquor store, and I broke it up. Getting loaded and falling off a banister into a potted plant at your buddy's wedding is not a heroic story when people want to know where'd you get the stitches. Thanks, Chris.
The worst part was that you wouldn't pay for the damages, which was $700.
Well, so someone's got to replace that ficus, right?
Oh, I know. I had to take my best friend to court to pay for the...
I love it. I feel like we could dedicate an hour to this topic each and every show. Let's write it down. Thanks, Brian. The passive-aggressive Brian who won't play the chimp sound.
Why? Did Ray get to you? Honestly, why won't you play the chimp sound?
I don't mind making fun of people that work for the show and are callers who voluntarily call, but people who are sort of help us out for
taking a stand.
Right. Speaking of working for the show, I will fire your ass if you don't play the goddamn chimp sound when Ray comes on the show.
When we even say Ray. If Adam is talking about a ray of sunshine.
I'm a Jehovah's Witness, and I was taught to believe I don't give a good goddamn what you feel about anything. You play that chimp sound, I'll throw another pen at you.
With any luck, I'll play it so much, it'll be one of the four that I can't play anymore.
Thank you. Everyone's passive-aggressive and angry around here. What's going on?
I love that movie, Ray.
Thank you. Replace you with a chimp to push the monkey button. Take a quick break. Be back with Def Frat Guy after this.
Maverick.
Can't hear much, but he can still drink beer and party every day. He likes chicks, sorority girls are always ready to play. Well, Moose gets Woody at the drop of a hat, but he says that he ain't bi. Just a fifth-year senior living it up. Hearing loss ain't a crime. He's a Def Rat Guy.
Maverick.
Def Rat Guy.
Chick.
Def Rat Guy.
Maverick.
Def Rat Guy. Def Rat Guy. Def Rat Guy.
Good to see you, Maverick. Hell yeah. Oh, what's the matter, Mav? I thought you'd be pretty pumped up about going to the Playboy Mansion tonight.
Why you gotta treat me like a butthole?
Oh, listen. Mav showed up about 20 minutes ago, and Bruska told him we were going to do one more break talking about the weddings, and he got upset.
Bro. This shows how far you handed up your ass.
Oh, whoa.
You don't even know why I'm peeing.
Why? What are you doing here? What are you saying?
Why he's PO'd?
You PO'd?
Tonight, the Playboy Mansion, what could be event of a lifetime
sure,
for me.
Of course.
You gotta totally screw me over. You would not. I said I wanted Maverick plus 30.
Right. I think I gave away 8 tickets to just some friends, and even that was tough to get.
So, dude, I have to go to campus today to make 30 people. Hey, you're not going to the Playboy Mansion.
You probably shouldn't have promised them they could go in the first place. I think that was the problem.
Dude, it's a huge... It's a mansion. It's not the Playboy cottage.
Right, but we don't need a bunch of drunken frat guys chasing women around. What we need is hot chicks dressed up in body paint.
Bros before hoes.
I understand, but... There's a limited, it's exclusive. You see, a lot of this stuff, they do these parties and things, and they just give it away to a bunch of sponsors, and then you get a bunch of guys that look like Larry Tate sitting around getting drunk. We wanted to give it away to the listeners, to the people who support our show. Not the advertisers, the people. You're one of the people that's involved in the show. We give you a pair of tickets as well, just like Dave does and Teresa does, but you can't get 30 pair of tickets.
And Maverick, speaking a language as a big Top Gun fan that you can understand, this is going to be a more target-rich environment for you without your bros there.
Turn that to Moose. He already has his Tinkerbell costume.
Moose in a Tinkerbell costume.
Everyone was going to be there. Mike F. Minnie. I'm really bummed out right now. All right.
But you're going to have a great time, aren't you?
But how can I have a great time knowing that my bros are going Maverick and having a great time? Right. You're not there.
No, I understand.
It's everyone's dream to go to Playboy Mansion.
I see, but not everyone's dreams are realized. I mean, that's just the reality of life. Everyone's dream to own a Bentley or live in a mansion in Malibu, but it's not. They're not
all
realized.
You dream of hearing.
That's why it's a dream.
I had a dream tonight, and it's more of a goal, which I want to achieve.
All right.
To get a handy in the Grotto.
All right. Well, Big Tad, suit up.
From a girl?
I think we can do that.
From a lady.
What are you going to be dressed as tonight so we can find you, Mav?
I think I'm going to be dressed as Blake Chambers.
Oh.
Oh, your arch nemesis, yeah. Blake Chambers. He's the rush chairman of the Fiji House.
Yeah, and a first-class D-bag.
What does he wear?
He looks like the guy from Wall Street.
Right.
Golden Greco.
Michael Douglas.
So he dresses in suspenders and a three-piece suit all the time?
He wants to go into business.
I see. So what are you going to be wearing tonight so the folks who do go there can find you?
Coat and tie. Earring.
Oh, I see. As Blake Chambers says, an earring?
Well, no, but I need to stay me.
Right. You want to keep it real.
I want to get a handy in the... Well, I want to hook up tonight.
Well, listen, if you show up to the Playboy Mansion tonight, if you're one of the select few that's been invited or won your tickets, look for the guy who's funneling a beer out of his tin ear. He's taken that horn, put it up to his mouth, and dumped a Heine into it. That's when you're going to find the Def Rat guy.
Who?
No, it's just making a joke there, Def Rat guy. It's cool. All right, so we'll see you tonight at the Playboy Mansion.
But, dude, I need to maybe have a better costume.
All right, well, what do you want?
I'm all mixed up right now, bro.
I understand. There's a lot of feelings going around. Plus, you probably still have a buzz from last night, right?
I'll tell you this. Tonight, I'm gonna get so wasted that I'm going to drink and I can't drink anything else. Not even a tiny drop of water.
I understand. There would be no room in your system for any liquid.
It'll come right out.
I understand. Well, if you're going to heave, please give us a little heads up so we can get out of the way.
No, dude, if I'm on a boot, I'll let you know.
All right, dude. All right, Def Rat Guy, Mav, we're running a little bit late, so I think we're going to wrap this up. Are you cool?
Hell yeah.
So you'll be dressed as Blake Chambers tonight.
Or and maybe it's a prime.
Well, you're looking forward to a handy in the Grotto if any ladies are listening, and if you boot, you'll let us know.
Bro. You got to apologize to my bros.
The guys who... The 30 guys who you promised were going to the Playboy Mansion?
Yeah, to tell them what the deal is, because they won't believe it from me.
Now, do I have to go through Smitty and Douchebag and all the guys, or can I just say collectively, collect. Hey, guys?
Collect.
Okay. Hey, bros, this is the Ace Man talking, and I'm sorry I couldn't do you a solid by inviting you to the Playboy Mansion. The good news is Mav has a camera in his cell phone, and he'll be able to chronicle the whole evening and bring it back to you.
Tell him why not.
Why they're not invited?
Yeah.
We have a limited amount of tickets, and we feel like it wouldn't be fair to give them all to one group.
Hell yeah.
Okay, right. Time has passed. All right, I suggest you take a B12 shot and a nap, Mav, so you can be ready to party with us tonight.
Hell yeah.
We're gonna tie one on, but good. Def Rat Guy, Fantabulous, Juliana DePandy, who's looking hotter than ever from E! News, is coming in next after this on the Adam Carolla Show. Lock the door.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Los Angeles, California. Several young men humiliate themselves for tickets to the Playboy Mansion by smoking a bong load of pubes, blowing up a urine-filled balloon in their car, eating their wallets, lube
wrestling a gay man and getting ridiculous tattoos? Definitely not Jews!
Self-serving but true. Juliana DePandy is in studio, co-anchor of E! News on E! Weeknights. 7 o'clock and then again at 11. Good to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
You look fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Dave, who's a sort of a snob in the chick department, he mentioned when you walked past the glass moments earlier, ooh, look at her.
Really?
What's Juliana been
thank
doing?
Thank you so much.
And
that's nice.
You know what I said? I said, perhaps, now you have to brace yourself for the beginning part of this because it's going to get good, but there'll be a little... there'll be a little storm before the crystal clear blue night that comes after it. I said, perhaps she's put on a couple of pounds.
Oh, my God, no!
Only because you were maybe too thin before.
I said a couple. I said maybe 8 pounds, and she has filled herself out a little. She has the height in the frame to carry it. Not fat, not 20 pounds. I'm talking about 6 to 8 pounds, and it's just giving you, I don't know, a little extra curve or something. You know, there is, I feel like we need to say something to women. There is such a thing as too skinny for guys. Mm-hmm. Most of the guys I know like a little backside. They like a curve. They like a zoftic frame. Not fat, but there are women that are way too spindly out there, and we don't like it. I know the girls think they look good in photographs or that they think they look good in the fashions that they're wearing. But guys, we like a little curve, and I think you found a little curve since the last time we've spoken to you. No? Yes?
I can't even think. I'm literally going to kill myself right now.
What? No.
I swear to God, I'm
honestly
thinking of ways I can
you
kill
are
myself.
Like a size
are you
zero?
Are you kidding me right now? I swear to God, I'm going to kill. Are you kidding? Do you not know who I am? I'm going to become an emotional wreck right now.
Really?
That's
literally
never happened.
Really?
I'm a psycho. I'm a psycho when it comes to. I can't
know
even believe you said that.
Don't cry.
Do you understand? I wake up at 4:30 in the morning. I'm not one of these people who's going to sit here and be like, I don't work out. I wake up at 4:30 in the morning. I go to the gym. I was there this morning. Running.
But what Adam's saying is you look better.
Miles.
He's saying you look better with a little bit.
Yes, to stay skinny. And now you're telling me I'm fat and not PHAT?
No. See,
Adam,
now let's see if we can get to the bottom of this, Juliana.
No.
Juliana,
I'm
actually
a very
had
insecure girl. And now you're telling me that, and now it's over.
Well, we're going to straighten it out. She has such issues with weight, by the way, that she had a toilet installed on her treadmill so she could vomit into
while
it. While she ran. Juliana, I feel like women put more pressure on themselves than the guys do, or even society. Look, you women are supposed to look good for men, not for other women and not for yourself. You don't see yourself through the right set of eyes. Think about my eyeballs and think about Dave's eyeballs. You look in the mirror, you see fat. We see too skinny. Look through our eyeballs. And the other thing, women, is guys, I don't know a guy other than myself that likes a big set of knockers. Most guys like a B/C cup. We like, you know, Cindy Crawford is a nice template in the breast department for most guys. So you guys have it wrong in certain departments. You are a beautiful woman who probably walks around a little bit too skinny for most guys. You may have found that 5 or 8 pounds, and it looks better on you. That's what I'm saying. Dave, back me up.
Maybe it's just muscle. Been working out a lot.
You're probably still like a size 2 or something.
No, but this is upsetting. You know, I look at these images every day, you know, being in entertainment of Nicole Richie and Lindsay Lohan, you know, so I try to maintain, you know, a thin physique, and now you're telling me I'm fat. You guys, I'm not kidding.
I didn't say fat.
And I'm not even going to, like, try to make up, you know, oh, no, thank you for the compliment. I'm not even going to do that.
You're angry.
No. I'm leaving here, and I'm going to think of ways to not eat for the next week.
Did you ever have a problem? Did you ever have an eating disorder?
Never.
Never.
I swear to God in my life.
Not even starving yourself a little?
Yeah, like, there have been times when I feel fat, so I'll, like, have, you know, one meal a day.
Mm-hmm.
But, and, you know.
And you're addicted to exercise.
In the past about, like, 8 months. Yeah, six, 8 months. I felt I was getting a little chunky. I had had, you know, a breakup, and I was single for a while, and so there was some depression hitting.
The Jerry O'Connell breakup?
It was tough.
That pig. Talk about a guy that used to be fat.
Yeah, exactly.
But then he went with a model, and that must have started the eating disorder.
Exactly.
For
you. So I thought, you know, he dumped me for a model. I must get super skinny.
Yeah.
For a little revenge. And so anyway, so then I couldn't, and I was like addicted to desserts. I was like picking out on desserts every night. It was really scary. But
you want a tamale? Ozzy's in the next room.
I saw them over there. No, now I'm never having a tamale again. Never. Not after this.
You look beautiful. Dave and I both commented on it as you passed by the glass. No. That's what got us onto the weight issue in the first place.
It's not good.
We were trying to figure out. Dave said, we saw you a few months ago when you came in here. We thought you were attractive then, but this was extra attractive, and we're trying to put our finger on it, and I thought, I think she's curved out a little bit.
Oh, my
in
God.
General...
No, that's good.
Ace, you're right. In general, I don't know where women got it in their heads that that fellas love those big, gigantic novelty boobs. Most men do not. We like the nice...
And we like a little curve.
Shape.
We like a little curve on the ass. We don't like it when Lindsay Lohan gets down to the point where she loses her nice C cup and it's just that sort of bony concave chest and Nicole Richie. We don't like it. And I'll tell you, and tell me if this is possibly a problem. You're on TV. You're on E every day.
Right.
And when you see yourself on TV, you look big.
Yeah.
You look bigger. That's what the TV does.
And can I be very honest with you? What's really driven me to this, because I have been obsessed with my weight lately, it's Ryan Seacrest. And I'm not even kidding. He's very, you know, he's very in shape. He eats like chicken and salad, and he's very small on camera. And so
you feel like you look bigger.
I look big next to him.
No, look, it's true. Also, if you have, there's another thing. I don't know if you suffer from this, but I suffer from it, and Dave does, which is if you put on 10 pounds, 9.5 will go to your head. My head will get bigger.
Yes.
And I would see myself sitting next to Dr. Drew, and Dr. Drew was one of these guys who, no matter how much he put on, and he would once in a while, he'd be 210 pounds. It wouldn't go to his head. His head just stayed narrow and sharp and chiseled and small. So you look like a bloated fat. It looked like they pulled you out of the river. Looks like they pulled your corpse out of the river.
That's true.
There's little Dr. Drew with his chiseled features. It's like somebody drew the guy's head in a G.I. Joe cartoon. And then there's big old pie face pulled out of the River Corolla.
That's me.
Yeah, see,
do
if
you
your
have
head,
that problem?
Well, this is the problem. Now, tell me what you think of this theory.
Because, you know, you're right, because Ryan has a little peanut head, and so then I have, like, my big head next to him, and I can't take it.
This is what happens, and I think it's what happened to Nicole Richie, and it's what happens to a lot of celebrities. When you are in front of the camera, the only thing they see pretty much is your face. Mm. It doesn't matter if you have a little bit of hips on you. As a guy, you could have a nice spare tire. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about anything. When you're looking at Alec Baldwin wearing a three-piece suit, you go, man, that guy's head is ballooned up. You don't care about his ass or his belly or his love handles or anything. When you look at yourself on TV, if you're one of these people whose head grows in a disproportionate way than their body, you see a big head.
Right.
Now, the only way to get your head down to Ryan Seacrest size or Dr. Drew size, those two fairies ought to hook up and do their own show called The Small Heads.
You're right.
They could just stare at the clefts in each other's chins and talk about how thin their faces look. Well, you look like one of those angel fish looking at you straight ahead. Your ears must be about an inch and a half apart, left or right. Really, you are beautiful. You chiseled, beautiful face. That's why I hooked up with Kimmel. Point is,
that's good.
When you're like Julianne and I, and you eat and your head gets big, well, the only way to get your head down to Ryan Seacrest size is to get your body abnormally small.
It's true. And then you know what that does sometimes? Backlash. Because what happens is then your body gets so small, you know, let's say your body shrinks by 50%, or let's say 20%, right? But then your head maybe only, you know, not so much. So what happens is you have a giant head. Now your head looks even bigger because
like
your body's so little. And then you get the nickname Lollipop, which I've gotten before.
Or Bobblehead, which was a great porn, but not a great thing to be called.
So you see... But
nice rental for the H-Man over the weekend.
You know, Adam, I got to say, I cannot believe how observant you are. I've thought about all this. This is unbelievable. I thought about this because I'm a chick, but wow.
No, I think like women. I think like men.
You do.
And he
like
doesn't
turtles,
miss anything.
I think like stuffed animals. I think like everything. I think like clouds. I think like the wind.
Wow.
Yes. All right. Well, let's push forward here, Juliana DePandy.
Yeah.
Now that, you know, and again,
I have a complex.
This all was born of thinking about how foxy you were as you passed
us. But you're going to, like, read about me in a week. dead.
Well, if you're going to do anything stupid, please do it in the studio. We need some ink.
Fine. I'll give you the E! News exclusive.
Well, speaking of exclusives, let's talk about some other celebrities that are in the news.
Yeah.
Naomi Campbell, for instance. Mm-hmm. Arrested again?
She was arrested again. She supposedly beat up her drug counselor in London.
Wow.
And it looks like she was back home in London because she needed to renew her visa to work in the U.S. I don't know how that makes sense. But anyway, so she was back there. And part of the whole process is getting tested. And so she was at the drug counselor. And it must not have gone well because the woman showed up at the police station. The drug counselor all scratched up and no, seriously, with like
cell
red
phone
on her
sticking out of her ass.
Yeah. So this is the sixth person, about the sixth person she's had issues with.
Yeah.
She's attacked assistants, maids, and now the drug counselor.
And I love it when they do the press conference and they go, look, when you're on top, people are always trying to snipe at you. People talk. People try to get at you. Like,
right.
Really? Six people? How many people's Tom Hanks beaten up in his 25-year career? How come it never happened? To certain people.
It's true.
I would suggest that she get together with Wesley Snipes and create a super race of criminal celebrity. Could you imagine what would come forth from his and her loins if they got together, in fact?
That's true. Oh, that's actually a great idea.
Thank you. Let's work on it. We need to take a quick break. Juliana DePandy.
Wesley Snipes.
Beautiful, beautiful ass.
Yeah.
Juliana DePandy in studio from E! News. She's a
Who says that? Who
anchor.
Tells a girl she's fat?
They said you looked beautiful.
Said you looked beautiful.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into Madonna, and we'll get into who was booted, Springer booted from a Dancing with the Stars. Cover all the gossip after this.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM. And now ETV's Juliana DePandy on the Adam Carolla Show.
Juliana broke down into a heap during the commercial and screamed, "You're right."
Ran to the bathroom and grew up. Thanks, Adam.
She's been running in place ever since, trying to burn a few calories.
We were talking to Juliana from E! About putting on weight in your head, and then if you're on TV and you just stare at your big fat puss all the time when you go home, and you look fatter anyway on TV. And when are they going to correct that? I was thinking about that the other day. You know, the camera puts on 10 pounds, blah, blah, blah. Fine. Now we have height. That was around when Jackie Gleason was on TV, and we were using a black and white Zenith with rabbit ears. Now, since then, we've had cable, then satellite, now high definition, plasmas. The technology just keeps moving along.
TiVo, and you can't correct my head?
Let's make a camera that doesn't add 15 pounds to the Ace Man's cabeza.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what, though? Yeah, I know. I was thinking about it, what you said, that I gained weight and that guys like that. I thought about it during the break. I don't feel any better about it.
All right.
And I am going to go home and think of ways to lose. What did you say? I gained 6 pounds? I'm going to lose 10 pounds.
That's right. I said 25, actually.
Thanks.
So you got to lose 40.
Great.
Let me quickly, before we get back to dishing the gossip on the celebrities, say that if you take a look at some of the girls, some of the folks that have had eating disorders over the years on TV, they're women whose heads get big. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, who was it? Tracy Gold?
Yeah.
She was on Family Ties or whatever.
Growing Pains.
Yeah. She was on Growing Pains. Tracy, she had a head that was a little bit big, so she had to get her body abnormally skinny so her head looked normal to the camera. The other one, you've not heard my Kirstie Alley theory, but the reason she got up to 250 pounds is because her head wouldn't grow.
Oh.
Kirstie Alley has a beautiful face and a thin face, always had. She started off at 140 pounds, 135 pounds, but she was 180 and her head was still Ryan Seacrest head size. Then she got up to 210 and her head would still be small. If you remember, she was walking around looking like one of the sisters from Heart, just wearing a circus tent and stuff, but her head still looked beautiful. So when she would go home that night after doing Kimmel or Letterman or whoever, she would watch herself on TV sitting on the sofa with a big billowy, you know, she's essentially wearing a graduation gown, but she looked great on camera because her head never grew.
Mm-hmm.
If her head did what our heads do, she would have knocked off the muffins when she got 8 pounds overweight.
You're right.
Thank you.
That's why we got to keep it in check because our heads get ginormous.
How do you feel about any kind of plastic surgery?
I'm all for plastic surgery. I mean, I'll definitely get get it one day when I feel like I need it. You know what I mean?
What do you think? What do you start with?
I think I'll definitely get, this sounds terrible, I'll probably get like a eye lift at one point because I like that look, you know, like that, like that.
Yeah.
Like that scary look. I like that.
Yeah.
Like when the eyes are all up and crazy. So I think I'll probably get that when my eyes start dropping.
Yeah, what you about can the look like job? One of my grandma's crazy friends. It'll be nice.
Yeah. You know, I actually had this conversation with my boyfriend the other day about a boob job. I think I'm looking forward to it. What were you just
Bill
looking
Rancic?
At?
I was looking at my shirt. I caught you. Let me tell you something.
He was staring at
that
her.
That would be
boobs.
Outrageous for you to get a boob job.
Why?
One day.
Because they're terrific bosoms as they are.
They're really not. You know what? I wear kind of a little padded bra, so I'm really only like a big B.
Oh, yeah. Boost them up then. No, they look terrific.
But I'd like to be a C, like a full C. But I'm not. But people think I am, but I think it's because I wear kind of like rocket bras.
Whatever. If it works, it works. I mean, it's obviously working on Dave Damashek over here.
And
so, we went through Naomi Campbell.
Yeah.
We were talking about the additional gossip on the celeb. She's been arrested again for beating up a drug counselor.
Yes.
Is that it?
Yeah, what they're saying is in London, she attacked a drug counselor yesterday. Her drug counselor, not just a random one on the street. And the person went into the London police station with scratches all over her face. So, yeah, they held her in a cell for 12 hours, and we'll see. But this is the sixth person she slapped around.
Well, I know she's not exactly... She's not exactly Robin Hood either. She's going after maids and drug counselors and stuff like that. Be one thing if she would find corrupt CEOs of horrible corporations and attack them. You know what I mean? Do our bidding for us as a society. She's attacking people that are well below her financially. That's despicable.
Like the Black Brusca.
Right.
Sorry. Well, she's friends with all these Hollywood people, like P. Diddy. We're actually talking about this in our meeting this morning over at E! Like, she never attacks, like, one of her good friends, like P. Diddy or, like, Kate Moss, you
right.
know?
Right. You beat the crap out of Kate Moss, and we will get you a medal and erect a statue for you. But you beat up your poor maid from Guatemala. Please.
Wow. On the upside, though, as a fighter, isn't she 6-0? It seems like she wins.
It is true, but a lot of tomato cans been put
true.
In front of her.
True.
She's choosing her opponents well. Next, Madonna.
Yes, Madonna, you know, it's been going back and forth. Is this whole adoption thing legal? Is it not? So she finally spoke out on Oprah and cleared up the whole mess and says, yes, it is totally legal. The baby is happy. The Malawian child is happy with the other children.
Like they have laws over there in the first place, please.
She specifically said they don't have laws. And so they had to use the tribal law, which just meant that you go in a courtroom with the only relative they can find of the baby, and you look in each other's eyes, and you make a written and verbal agreement, which she said they did.
Wow.
Well, ultimately, it's our fault for not dumping more billions of dollars into that part of the world.
Yes.
Ultimately, we're doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But I love it on Oprah. She says, Oprah says, did you do it because of Angelina and Brad? Because that's what everyone was saying, is she, like, was following Angelina's, and she's like, no, Oprah, I didn't do... Well, because, you know, she has a British accent, Madonna.
Yeah.
Of course. She's
even
from,
more so now than ever.
More than ever. The Detroit British accent. And
she's starting to sound like I imagine what Andy Capp would sound like if he actually spoke. Yeah, she's very affected now.
Very affected. And so she said, no, you know, I've never even met Angelina Jolie. And then she goes on to say, actually, the idea came to me 2.5 years ago. I first thought about it, which I loved because if you think about it, she had to give an exact time because that's before Angelina adopted baby Zahara.
Right.
So she didn't say, I had the idea before Angelina, but she kind of said it without saying it.
Right.
She's like, no, 2.5 years ago.
Right.
And Angelina probably adopted the baby like two years and 5 months ago. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
She was trying to.
She got in just underneath the wire. I think we have a clip of Madonna to play from that interview.
Here's what I knew, that David had been living in this orphanage since he was 2 weeks old, that he had survived malaria and tuberculosis, and that no one from his extended family had visited him since the time he arrived. So from my perspective, there was no one looking after David's welfare.
Wow, she sounds like the Queen of England at this
point.
The
accent is the most British it's ever been.
It's amazing, right?
But Julianne and I were talking. She, to me, looked incredible on Oprah. There wasn't a pore or a wrinkle or anything on her face. It was porcelain.
Because she bathes in virgin blood. That's why. Look, I probably don't like Madonna as much as the next guy, but ultimately, if a rich person, forget that her name is Madonna, I try to break these things down into a problem where, what if everyone did this? Well, what if every rich white guy went to a horribly impoverished nation and adopted a person of color who would have died within the week and brought them back and educated them? All right, I don't see a problem with it. If you can help by just expanding it. What if there was 1,000 Madonnas in the world? What if this opened the floodgates and made it okay for other rich, wealthy people to go over there and adopt impoverished kids in all parts of the world? What would that be like? Could you imagine the hell we'd be living on? Yes, who cares?
Right. Well, there are dozens of orphans in Malawi. There are tens of thousands of them.
Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. And let me say this about Africa. When are we going to tell those people to knock it off and put a condom on? All we ever hear is, you know, you two over there, Bono, he needs some more money for his folks over there in Africa. We send billions of dollars over there. It just keeps getting worse and worse. What's the problem? More money? I don't know. We've been sending a lot of money. Perhaps they should stop raping each other. Perhaps that would slow the spread of AIDS down. Perhaps call me crazy. Call me insane. But we've been sending billions of dollars to that region of the world for the last 25 years. And all we have is more orphans and more AIDS. So you tell me, what's the solution? More money? Or perhaps we should start calling people out on their practices.
So you're saying education?
Perhaps we should educate them and maybe even shame them.
Oh,
maybe not treat them like victims.
Like what you did to Juliana?
How about the children who were born with it? That was the problem. Actually, little Madonna's new baby, his brother and sister died of AIDS.
And mother.
They were born with it and the mother, yeah.
Right, but what is the key? Send more money to a corrupt government who is not doing anything about the problem? I mean, let's address the problem. Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can figure out where all these people are being created and see if we can slow that down just a little bit. If we can slow that down within a generation, it'll be back on its feet. But we don't want to do that. We don't want to judge anymore. Right. We're living in a society where we can't judge. Shut up and send money over there. Shut up and open the borders. Don't judge.
Should you adopt a Malawian baby?
I have three. They're in the car right now. Oh, holy Christ, I cracked the window.
You adopted them 3 years ago,
though,
right?
Do you leave the radio on? Would you leave them in the car so they can hear the show?
I adopted them as teenagers and then put them to work as indentured servants on the Corolla household.
Ozzy's in charge of them?
Ozzy whips them in the basement. They're churning butter. They're washing the windows. As a matter of fact, I'm due for a cuticle push any day now.
Mm-hmm. Do they live in the house with your actual children?
No. I've erected them crude huts on my neighbor's lawn. That's where they live. And that's where they do their business. And then they come in every day and they take care of my wife and I.
So why did you adopt them?
They pour the milk for my bath and all that.
So it was nothing out of love.
My money manager told me it wasn't a good move to actually have them as a dependent. It's something about having too many Ferraris or something already. I don't tell him how to do his job either. I either thumbs up or thumbs down and on it. So they're not physically adopted. I take care of them. I slop them almost every day about noon. Have Ozzy go there and take whatever's left at the bottom of the crock pot, mix it with a little tap water, and that's what they get.
Wow.
It's a good life. Hey, it's better than what they had.
Wow. Don't adopt any more kids.
And then I call them fat.
Adam, I'm concerned, though. Before Juliana leaves, I don't want her jogging around the parking lot for 10 miles before she gets in her car. Tell her she looks beautiful.
No, whoa. Teresa, there's no need. It's over. I've crossed the line.
You're right.
Jogging 10 miles. I'm beyond that. I'm beyond jogging 10 miles at this point.
She looks gorgeous.
No,
Juliana DePandy, for me, please, you're sitting down. I hope you take this in spirit, which it's intended. I've repeated over and over again, you're not fat. You won't listen to my words. Perhaps you'll take notice of my actions. I need to have sex on you in order to prove to you that I'm attracted to you. And so does Dave.
Did you say on me or with me? I don't know. Offended. On
Wait,
me?
With would be cheating.
I'm so fat that you can't do it with me. You got to do it on me?
I feel like if I make sex on you and you're not a willing participant, you can't get in any trouble with your boyfriend, Bill, when you get home. I'm just saying.
No,
I've
or
told
is it because I'm too fat and unattractive that you don't want to do it with me?
I wouldn't have sex with a fat chick. So I'm going to prove to you you're not fat by having sex with you. You won't listen to my words. I've told you 100 times. You're not going to listen. Perhaps you'll pay attention to the peccaroo.
Let me just tell you something, honestly. Speaking of peccaroos, can I say something?
Please.
My boyfriend's coming in this weekend.
Oh,
and
no.
Now that I feel so fat, you just ruined everything. I'm not letting him touch me. He's sleeping. Thank God. I just got a king-size bed. He's going to sleep the other side of the area.
He's coming in from New York?
Yes.
I will break you in like a new pair of loafers, and you'll be ready for him when he arrives.
I'm too insecure. I'm not. I'm going to bed dressed, fully dressed every night. I'm not letting him touch.
I will make you feel like
handles.
A beautiful, beautiful young woman for about 2 or 3
what
minutes.
What am I going to do
then
to get skinny? Ay-ay-ay.
I'm telling you, it's like I said. A lot of people are talkers. I'm a doer. Okay. You're not listening to my words.
Look at how upset she looks.
Wait, does DEXA trim work? Like any of those things? Do they work?
Ask me.
You don't need any of them. You need, I'll tell you what you need
to
do.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Hold on. You guys, can we do like a month from now? Mm-hmm. Can I come in and I want you guys, there's a scale in here. That's some hardcore stuff. You just pointed at a scale.
Uh-huh. You want to weigh it?
I don't know if I want to weigh myself, but wait, can we come in and maybe like you guys can see if I will get skinnier. I'm going to get half the size.
No, you're beautiful.
Don't.
You're beautiful.
I want to do it.
Let me show you how beautiful you are.
No, I want to do it just to do it.
All right, listen, Juliana DePanny from E. I'll tell you what's going to make you feel better about yourself. You cannot work next to that pixie Ryan Seacrest with the cleft in his chin and feel good about yourself. You can't lose that much weight. His head is too small.
All right.
You need to hire on over at E. Horatio Sands
is your co-host
from SNL. That man has a tremendous head, and the head from Easter Island looks small compared to Horatio Sands' head. That's what you need because your head will never shrink small enough to get down to Seacrest size.
I need to get a co-host with a larger head than mine. You're right. Much larger head, so I look very thin.
We need to take a break. When I'm done having sex with you, Juliana DePanny, I will yell, Corolla out! That's what I do when I'm done. All right, Juliana DePanny, everybody, the co-anchor over at E! News. Weeknights 7 and 11. See her and her skinny-headed Ryan Seacrest partner over there.
Yeah,
also,
watch, you guys. Watch closely. See our heads, how little his head
is. Yeah, she's got a thimble for her head. Also, look for her book, Think Like a Guy, How to Get a Guy by Thinking Like One. Juliana DePanny, always refreshing to see you.
No, thank you.
And we'll see the emaciated version of you about 6 weeks in the studio?
Give me 30 days. Just 4 weeks.
All right, baby, please.
Oh, I can't support that.
No,
quick break.
Don't worry about it.
We'll be back with a recap of all our Playboy stunts after this.
Tonight, the Adam Carolla Show is live from the Playboy Mansion. It's Adam's Halloween party, Blotto in the Grotto, with Hugh Hefner.
To you and me, it's Mr. Hefner and
Jimmy Kimmel.
He is an inspiration to masturbation.
3-6 Mafia. Playboy TV's Jesse Jane and adult film star Tara Patrick. Tonight at the Playboy Mansion. You can't get in, but you can hear it all tomorrow. We'll replay the show starting at 6 a.m. Brought to you by Miller Lite, Coors Las Vegas, and Travel Worm. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, here I am. Well, we are going tonight. There was a time when I would have looked forward to 8 hours of radio.
Not so much now?
No, I want to go get drunk. I want to go to the Playboy Mansion and start boozing and have a good time.
Can't you?
I will. I think I'll start boozing about hour number 3.
She tasted like champagne.
Because you've got to run the show. You can't be loaded.
I'm going to run the show for about the first 3 hours, and then I'll start getting boozing up after that. Maybe I'll even drop a Quaalude or something. Who knows? So we've been giving away tickets all week and last week as well. The ladies, they get to go by being hot and looking good in their costumes and sending it to AdamCarolla.com. The guys, they have to earn their way. Yesterday, we did a little Wreck My Ride. Well, I'll tell you, we took a pumpkin and we filled it up. It was about the size of a basketball, hollowed it out, filled it up with gravy and all the fixings from Thanksgiving, and mashed potatoes, yams, and we blew that baby up inside this guy's Mercedes, and it was spectacular. I mean, look, some weren't as good as others. Tad's whiz balloon didn't go off like I'd like. Oh, it still went everywhere, and that was good enough. But it did not explode like this pumpkin filled with all this messy gook in there. It was all over the guy's headliner, his stereo, the back seat, the front seat. I don't know if there was a part of the car that didn't have something in it. Let's do a little recap. I think we'll start with yesterday blowing up stuff in people's cars. Tad has been eating raw asparagus and eating multivitamins all morning long. We have now set the whiz balloon up on the armrest of the 2000 Tacoma crew cab. So, what do you think? What are your thoughts on this, Chef?
I'm thinking that it's worth it, and I'm not going to look while it happens.
Does it surprise you that we could find not one, but three people who make enough money to buy really nice cars and yet are stupid enough to allow this to happen to these fancy cars?
That's what makes this country great, David. That's why the terrorists hate us.
God bless America.
God bless America. All right. It has been rigged. Yes, we have the pumpkin rigged. We're now going to blow the pumpkin up. We blew the balloon. It blew up, but just a spray. We want an explosion. We're now going to blow
Hold
the
on
pumpkin
it for a second. Pause Tad's it for a second.
The best part is when the first balloon filled with Big Tad's asparagus whiz. What a shocker. Big Tad doesn't like asparagus, probably because it doesn't grow at a Keebler factory. The only vegetable he eats comes off the Keebler tree. That's his proclamation. It has to have wafer in the title, otherwise he won't get near it. So he didn't eat it. So what did he do? He covered the asparagus stalks with peanut butter, creamy Jif peanut butter, the whole morning and ate that. He found a way to make asparagus fattening, ladies and gentlemen. He ate that. He filled up two balloons. One of them we were trying to open up into a pumpkin, and it exploded on dear, dear assistant Lindsay. Beautiful Lindsay got Tad's vitamin B asparagus whiz all over. Thank God she wore an open-toe sandal that morning. All right, so now we've put the other one into a pumpkin. This is what the explosive experts want us to do. And now we're going to blow that pumpkin up inside this guy's Tacoma. All stand back and be prepared for the final finale. Let's start with 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There we go. That's the headshot. That got on the headliner.
Why didn't we put the mic in the guy's car?
Because get close to the disgusting. Mic.
Oh, the smell.
I think we were worried that
it smells like victory.
People are dry heaving and vomiting around the Tacoma. No, but we threw a mic inside the other cars in a plastic bag.
For some reason, the last explosion didn't go off or something. We didn't hear that last explosion.
But we had a mic.
We did have a mic in there.
Mic was in the car?
Yes.
Okay. Well, here's how you know. People want to know, like, do you guys, is this guy really eating his wallet? Is he really smoking a bong load of Tad's pubes? Is he really? People ask that all the time. Here's how you know we don't fake things. If we fake things, Dawson would have put an explosion sound when I yelled 3, 2, 1, blow it up. You would have heard something other than nothing. He would have pulled one of the sounds off of the other ones and put it there. There was, in fact, no sound for some reason. Maybe the mic was off. Thus, you heard no sound. Thus, it sounded like horrible radio. So that's how you know. That's how you know we don't cheat.
It's when we fall that you know how honest we usually are.
Thank you.
I do have to amend my statement from yesterday. I said it smelled like victory after the fact. Whatever it smelled like, it most certainly was not victory.
It was horrible in there. Also, we had Master, our 6'5" tall glass of chocolate milk, if you're listening, Los Angeles Times. who mentioned that the man show was canceled.
After 5 successful years and after you had left the show.
Yes, snarky pussies. Point is, he made out with Sarah, 72-year-old meth head. Another guy smoke a bong load of Tad's pubes. The guy ate his wallet. I liked him the most. He was miserable. Where is that guy?
I think that was the worst of all of them.
He consumed his entire wallet. I mean, he came in, he brought his wallet, Ozzy barbecued it, and he ate it. Brian?
Yeah.
How's that wallet sitting with you?
It's good. It's all good. Yeah, I lost my girlfriend over it, though.
Really?
Why?
Yeah, she broke up with me.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Why? Because it was a gift from her.
Oh, the wallet was a gift?
Yeah.
Well, I would argue that that is the ultimate way to receive someone's gift. You know, yeah. You loved it so much, you actually consumed it. A lot of guys. Or would you rather you just stuff it next to your butt crack and sit on it for another 5 years?
I'm due for a new wallet anyways.
So your girlfriend actually broke up with you because you ate the gift wallet that she gave you.
Yeah.
I like that. Well, the good news is now you're free and clear and single, and we'll see you at the Playboy Mansion tonight.
Cool. Can't wait.
All right.
That's a good-looking kid, too. He shouldn't have any trouble.
Brian is very easy on the eyes. He's tough on the ears, but he's great. He's great on the eyes, ladies. You'll see him. He'll be the guy without the wallet and the guy who looks like he hasn't taken a BM in close to 10 days. That'll be Brian. Is it true that you put out a moccasin the following morning in the bathroom?
No.
No. Okay, thank you. Again, easy on the eyes, tough on the ears.
It's true.
That's Brian.
Adam, this is radio.
Yes. Yes, it is. We also have the guy who, they have the whiz explosion in the truck. Yeah, I'd like to follow up on him. Sean?
Yeah?
You have the 2000 Toyota Tacoma crew cab.
Still got it.
4x. So, Tad's whiz balloon. What did you do after you left us yesterday?
I tried to clean it out as much as I could, but I had to go back to work and kind of fermented for a little bit. But it's actually not that bad. I cleaned it after I got off work. Mm-hmm. But this morning it barely smelled like pumpkins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So supposedly there was supposed to be two whiz balloons, but I believe Tad broke one on himself.
Well, to be fair to Big Tad, we were trying in a hurry to undo one of them and dump it into a pumpkin carefully.
I think it kind of worked out in my benefit.
And Lindsay, my assistant, took like a knife or letter opener and poked the balloon in a hurry to make a hole, and then the urine balloon exploded all over her. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, so it really wasn't that bad. But
all right,
Sean. Worth it.
Thank you. We'll see you tonight at the Playboy Mansion.
I'll see you there.
Good times, my brother. Well, let's see. We need to take a break. We do have the guy who smoked a bong load of Tad's pubes on the phone. Nathan?
Yeah.
How was that?
Yeah, it wasn't so bad.
You're all right? All right. What was, can you still taste it if you close your eyes?
If I think about it real hard, yeah.
If you laugh really hard, will you bring up a Tad furball?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll burp. Smoke when I left.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I mean, this guy consumed it in front of us, and again, you know, the joke was sort of on us because I smelled the secondhand smoke of Tad's pubes. What else did we get? Well, we saw a lot of wiener and ass and all sorts of stuff when they were wrestling with Bill.
Burnt
the
asparagus pee was atrocious yesterday.
Yeah, I feel like we were maybe not in the battle, but we were certainly like combat photographers, and we saw a lot of things that we'll not soon forget. You know what I mean? We were at least in country, even if we didn't pick up a weapon. All right, Nathan, we'll see you tonight, all right, my brother?
Yeah.
Good times. I got to tell you about the breed of cat that comes in here and thinks it's a good idea to eat his wallet or smoke a bowl of pubes or light off a whiz balloon in his Toyota. These guys aren't talkers. They're doers.
Mm. Yeah.
Actually, they're not even doers. They let people do stuff to them, and they don't even talk about it, though. They're strong men, sort of probably more in the mold of a John Wayne. Throwback guys. Broad at the shoulder, narrow at the hip. Guys who don't, they let their fists do their talking or their bong filled with pubes do the talking. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. We're going to come back. We got some news and some sports when we return. What's in the news, T?
Tara Reid finally discusses her botched boob job.
Nice. We'll get to that plus sports after this.
Here's another line you'll never hear in a porno with Playboy TV's Jessie Jane.
Yeah, but I didn't realize you had just eaten asparagus when I asked you to do it.
Oh, I love it when you talk dirty. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Let's go ahead and pull that one out of the mix.
Why? It's confusing and not funny.
The bitch bag is back, everybody.
Well, there's going to be big news on that because I will not be present.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You're not going to sit there in the bitch bag?
Breaking news. I excuse myself
from
here on out. I no longer want to be part of it.
Did she do that?
Wow, I don't know if that's in the bitch bag.
Yeah, we have to check the bylaws. We have to talk to the old guy from the Miller Lite commercial and figure out if that's in or out.
You can take it up with my very nice therapist in Tarzana, but it's not going to happen, my friends.
That's actually a good idea. We should get your therapist on the line.
Oh, I'm sure she'd love that.
She told you not to participate in the bitch bag?
Well, I asked her, do I have to do this? Will I get fired? Can I just respectfully decline? I don't want to be part of it. I think it's ugly. I don't like voting. I don't like doing it. And you can say whatever you want about me. I just don't want to be in the room.
It was my therapist's idea, the bitch bag. Said Ace Man. I got gold, comic gold for something called the bitch bag.
All I know is, like Whitney Houston, can't take away my dignity.
Mm. Well, now, what about, please tell me that your therapist, who probably mispronounces everyone's name in the show, called it the bitch bonnet or something else before they got the bitch bag right.
Why do you have to do this? Bitch barn.
Why must you participate in this bitch battle?
I don't understand. I don't understand the bitch barrage.
So, are you saying that this time, next Friday, I'm going to have to read all the votes for you?
Adam, unless you personally tell me that I have to be here, I will not participate.
Wow, I got to talk to my therapist.
I just don't want to do it anymore.
Maybe your therapist and my therapist should do lunch and figure out what's best for the bitch bag. He could represent me. He's probably out in Encino, too. Where's your therapist, on Ventura?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, if a dirty bomb went off on Ventura Boulevard between Hazeltine,
yes.
Between Hazeltine and White Oak, every therapist in North America would be wiped out.
Right off Tampa.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, I can't do it anymore.
Mm. Well, where are you going to go?
For therapy?
No, when the bench bag's going on, where are you going to go?
In the bathroom. I don't know, but I won't be here. Like the bartender said, last call. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
I think that all therapists should not only be fans of the bitch bag, they should use them in their couples counseling.
Each a family counseling. Everybody put a bitch in about your sister or brother or mom anonymously.
9 votes for you, stepmom. There are only 4 of you. Some may have voted twice, bitch. Now read. See, therapists should be for this because this is a way to air out grievances. You know,
it's not constructive.
But the reason you're saying, is that constructive for me to laugh like a retarded hyena when you're crying
and then get tackled by a 300-pound man?
Don't cry.
Not okay.
Hold it back. Let's not forget the 150-pound rider you tossed. You shook him off like Earl Campbell shaking off an undersized cornerback.
I didn't mean to do
Ran
that.
Ran right over Lynch.
I felt very badly about that. That's why the bitch bag is ugly and I won't be a part of it.
Well, the way the bitch bag works is everybody writes their secret bitch or complaint about whoever's involved with the staff. I had to take one on the chin last week. And it's, then we read it. Now, no names assigned. People can do the math once in a while and figure out who wrote what. But by and large, it's anonymous. We destroy all the extra ones. Whoever gets the most votes reads it every Friday. Teresa's been on the losing end a couple of times, but so has Brusca and so have I. Your therapist says, no, I say it's a method of healing. It's a conduit to healing.
Well, then I'd rather be healed by being set on fire.
Brusca, get the kerosene. There's a new wrinkle in the bitch bag
because
this year.
Because that would hurt a little less, frankly.
Okay. Wow.
Is that okay? May I be excused? May I have permission to formally be excused?
I encourage you not to answer right now. I think you need to give this some serious thought before you
take it.
Say one way or
the
other.
Well, the first time it happened was before a week-long vacation, and I spent the entire week pretty much in a fetal position wondering like what I had done wrong and why don't people like me and how am I ever going to integrate this into my sense of humanity? Like, why are people so cruel? Mm-hmm. And then the next time it happened, it was shortened to 2 days and a lot of crying in my car and swerving.
Right.
And then I just thought, I don't want to, I was just hired to do the news.
Boy, this is going to be fun.
Shut up.
Let's do one right now.
Play the monkey sound.
Now, who else has got some stories?
It's funny. I was going to tell you I was going to do some soul searching and really think long and hard on it and have an answer for you next Friday when we do the bitch bag.
But why don't we take a 5-minute break?
The reality is I wouldn't think about it at all. I would forget about it, and then it would sound like this next Friday. You would say, well, Have you thought about it? Go ahead, T.
So, I'm sure you've given it a lot of thought.
Hmm?
What we talked about. The bitch bag.
Right, we're doing it today.
No, but remember I asked you if I could have permission to not?
Oh, yeah. No. All right, let's collect those votes. That's probably what it would sound like, because I wouldn't give it any thought.
Well, I'm not doing it.
Okay.
I respectfully decline.
Well, today, we're not doing a bitch bag today,
yes.
So I don't feel like I need to answer just yet. But I do need to, I do feel like I need to talk to my therapist and your therapist and Bruskett's therapist, which is a 6-foot sub.
Never play this again.
He's actually counseled by 6-foot sub every Wednesday.
And by the way, that was the news.
We'll take a break. We'll let Teresa regain whatever composure she had left, and we'll do the news and sports after this.
And now, Oswaldo reads the 100 greatest movie quotes of all time. Number 44, from The Sixth Sense.
I see dead people.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
We're sailing along so smoothly. Seemed like only yesterday I was talking about Juliana DePanty's head being big, and now this.
I miss those times.
Bruskett going at it with Mike. Dawson and Lynch, the mics ganging up on the Bruskets of the world. Woo-wee.
Nothing pleases me more than someone behind my back in another room throwing me under the bus when it was their fault to begin with. Nothing pleases me more.
All right.
So spineless.
Well, Playboy Mansion's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a lot of tension at the Playboy Mansion. All right, let's see. Quickly to the phones before the news.
Oh, great.
And
probably
sports.
Some people bitching about me.
Bill?
Hey, Adam, how are you?
Yeah, Teresa doesn't want to do the bitch bag. How say you?
I say she should be fired.
She should be fired?
Well, yeah.
Bill, hold on. What do you do for a living?
I work in banking. I've been in banking for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when my boss says you need to do this, it's like, it's not a choice.
Bill, I respect your position. That's why I asked my boss if it was okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think Adam should say, well, you're in the entertainment business, so therefore, it's very entertaining.
Let me explain the problem I have here, Bill. There's only a handful of competent people that work here. Teresa's amongst them. She's like Lawrence Taylor, and I'm Bill Parcells in the mid-80s. She's out doing blow. She's showing up late for practice. She's a prima donna, but come Sunday, she pins her ear back. And she puts a hurting on the opposing quarterbacks. I can't spare. Sure, I can talk about discipline. Sure, I can talk about rules. But T comes in here and delivers the news every day. She's one of the few all pros we have on the squad. I feel like I got to bend the rules for her.
Oh, come on. I mean,
all right, you're right. Teresa, you're out. You'll do the news for us?
Bill,
good news is you're fired.
Hey, Bill, what's going on in the news today?
I don't know.
Great job.
All right. Fantastic. Wes?
Yes, sir.
What do you have to say about Teresa and the bitch bag?
Ever since you did the bitch bag the first time, I felt compelled to call and say that it was a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you feel that...
It's entertaining to see somebody get emotionally crushed. I get it. I just don't want to be that person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I get it. It is interesting. So is a cockfight.
Right.
And that's illegal.
But yeah, you understand, too, Teresa could almost get out of this with a note from her doctor. This is almost like PE, and this is a note with your doctor saying you have osteoporosis.
You use the word doctor singular. I will bring you plural. What do you want? Acupuncturist? Therapist?
She's very precariously balanced emotionally, and this could send her into a spiral. You know, the thing about guys like, you know, the Bruskets of the world, they got skins like armadillos. You know what I mean? You could just go ahead and sling all the hash you want at Bruskett. He cracks a beer and it's all forgotten about over the weekend. Teresa, she takes it to her grave, yes?
I take things tough, and the brain chemistry maybe mm-hmm. isn't the best. Mm-hmm. A lot of suicides in my family.
Okay. Again, it'd be great radio if you did it here.
I would do it here.
Okay. All right, I'm just putting that out there. Look, I feel like we need to move ahead. I've not rendered a decision yet on this bitch bag.
I will do whatever you say. If you say that you need me to do the bitch bag, I will do it. I you're my boss.
Well, I got to tell you this. You know how That's Sonny Bunny. You know how President Bush says the American people are his boss?
Yes.
I look at our listeners as my boss.
Strategery.
If you really want to look at it, I have a boss, too. They're driving to work in their cars. They're cooking up breakfast in their apartments. They're all my bosses in all the markets out there. I think I need to speak to them. I will present your case clearly, but when my bosses speak, well, then I have to listen.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Kim Chi knows I'm telling the truth on this one. We'll put it to a vote. We'll see what people say. It'll be fair. We're in a democracy after all, baby doll.
So next week, this is what we're going to do, is we're going to roll calls next week leading up to the bitch bag.
Steven wants her put on the jerk list. Unclear if her therapist has made a mandate about the jerk list. Actually, he still calls it the jerk report. Wants to know why it's been changed.
Well, I get it. If I were a listener, I would find it very interesting. I mean, this is one of the most compelling things that happens on the show is when I have a nervous breakdown. It really is interesting. I think it's great. I just don't want to do it anymore.
Dano says good for Teresa. Yes, Dano?
That's right, Teresa. Hey, no disrespect, Ace, but man, Teresa, stick it to the man. Stand up for yourself.
Hey, well, as we just discovered, you're the man.
You're the man, so...
Yeah, I'm vice president of the Adam Carolla Show. All my millions of listeners, you're the president. Yeah. You're the CEO. All of you. Don't you hate when people do that horrible, condescending stuff? Yeah, you guys that make 14 grand a year and still live at home and drive a 86 Taurus wagon, you're the boss.
We work for you.
You're the real heroes. All right, do we have time for the news?
Yes, we have time for a two-minute news. Don't yell at me, Taurus. All right.
I'll make it quick. Well, clearly the lead story today, Teresa Strauss are no longer in the pitch bag.
Let the people vote.
The Los Angeles Times ran a little bit of a bitchy article about Angelidis' appearance here on the Adam Carolla Show. The author of that article, who I'm sure is a fine journalist in his own right, Scott Martell, he just wrote a few things like he described Adam as the former host of the canceled television program, The Man Show.
Right.
Yes, canceled after 5 years, canceled when you were no longer on it.
Yes, you pussy.
He was contacted.
Yes.
And he said, quote, the article speaks for itself.
Sure. No, it's not confusing. The Man Show, I did 100 episodes and then I quit.
Right.
Yes.
But now you are a part of the canceled show, The Man Show.
Right.
The article speaks for itself. He will not talk to you. So that's his comment.
Of course, because like all these guys, they're cowards and pusses and they can't defend their point. And of course, the guy's an ounce of integrity. 5 years, a show that was on and successful, and they did 125 episodes of The Man Show. You just called it the canceled Man Show. Of course, that's slanted journalism. And of course, you can't defend it because you're a coward and a puss and a liar.
Tara Reid's boob job went horribly wrong. She went on the Today Show to discuss it. Here's how she described what happened.
This might not be the best time to talk about this, but Adam, I meant to talk to you. My doctor told me I should not participate in the news.
Oh, really? Your therapist said you can't just push the buttons?
That's hilarious.
Push Ray's. Push the ape sound for my buddy Ray. Come on. Thank you. Mutiny on the Bounty.
Play my Tara Reid clip, please.
You know, on my breast, the areolas were, they made them like, instead of like, they're normally like a quarter size, they looked like large, like goose-shaped eggs, but scarring terribly. I looked like I just got completely butchered up. I mean, you've never seen anything like it.
That's hot. The other thing, the puss in the Times, you want to know why I'm digging into this guy. I called our guy Master, who came in here as a 6'6" black guy, a tall glass of chocolate milk, and of course he took offense to that as well. Oh, no wonder no one reads that rag anymore.
Well, the chocolate milk young man, Master, was not offended, and we'll be seeing him tonight at the Playboy Mansion.
That's right.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Hold on a second, quickly. Curtis has a quick comment. Curtis?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, hey, man. I just want to say, I bet Tracy Metro, she'd do the bitch
back. Arch nemesis.
I really like Tracy Metro, to be honest.
You guys will have to get into, like, a big fight over it. Whoever wins gets
interesting.
To,
gets to be the...
She'd show up here in a big poofy orange sweater and do the bitch bag. It's a very valid point.
It's the lowest common denominator, though, like just wanting to watch people fight. And I get it. It's interesting. I'm interested in it also.
That's right.
But I will no longer be part of it. Sorry, Dave.
Well, we're going to put it to the people. Go ahead, Dave.
All right. Speaking of ugliness, Shaq Fu's embroiled in a doozy right now. Sure, you know that when he's not busy dunking 137 times a night for the Miami Heat, he's been training as a copper. Matter of fact, he's a sheriff's deputy in Virginia. A couple weeks ago, I guess, he was part of a child pornography raid on a house that turned out to be the wrong address. You can understand where Shaq would get confused when you're 7 feet tall. Everyone looks like a child. This child molester was probably just a guy banging his wife. The homeowner, though... He's a farmer. His wife's an elementary school teacher. The three kids are straight-A students. He says he and his family were shocked beyond words. Of course they were shocked. Can you imagine a giant black man crashing into your house like the Kool-Aid guy? I'd scare anybody, even the Kool-Aid guy. Hey, Shaq Fu! A shamma lamma lamma lamma.
Look, it must have been surreal, too, to see Shaq. You must have thought you won some sort of sweepstakes or something.
Did I do something bad? Good? I don't...
I'm going to get a chance to shoot from the half-court stripe to win $500,000 from Nestle.
Or a Chevy.
Right.
Well, it's fun to kid, but all nonsense aside, it was very embarrassing for Shaq. He's accomplished a great deal, as you know, in the NBA. One of the all-time greats. But on this night, he was no better than all those pedophiles who've bitten by the same snake, so-called journalist Chris Hansen. In fact, you'll be seeing him on the next To Catch a Predator. Here's an advanced
Shaq
clip of that. Shaq on
it.
On To Catch a Predator.
Get on the ground, spread them, because I want to lock you up.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Say that again.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
First of all, I'd like to give my apologies.
Why did you come here, though? Help me to understand.
You dance in the phone to my favorite song. Trying to get to you and that monkey.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad. I could probably teach you a few things, like, you know, some positions and moves.
You're a weirdo like me.
Wow, no. They need some private time.
That is...
Damashek's number one sports.
All right, we need to take a break. We'll take some more of your calls when we come back. Jen is proud of Teresa.
Thank you.
Yes. Also, Teresa's great. Helps a lot. Put tea on the triglycerides there. Everyone has to go into the bitch bag. So should Teresa, says Meyer. We'll take your phone calls on this after this.
This is Quagmire. You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Was that Offspring? Yeah, just spoke to Dexter. Good guy, good band. Oh, Teresa, you're so lucky that we're just about out of time. I'm going to take a nice happy call from Neil. Neil?
Hey, Adam.
What's up?
Love the show. Listen, Teresa has helped the show a lot.
Oh,
and
no
Teresa,
kidding.
We want to thank you for leading in with the areola item, because that gave me the idea that if you show us your areolas, that maybe Adam will let you out for 1 week.
Classy.
Yeah.
The other thing...
to check with the attorneys over here, that may be harassment.
The other thing, Teresa, is think of Robin. Let her be your role model, and she laughs all the way to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, that's true.
Yep, and on the way to the bank, you can stop at a therapist's office and drop off some of that money. Out in Encino, everybody. All right, Neil.
Adam.
Yes.
Adam, one more thing. Mm. We don't go for the Chichu Tamu stuff, especially us contractors, and we'd appreciate it if you could censor that out of Dave's repertoire.
Well, he is your boss, Adam.
You want me to take away his only joke?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
He has one
tool in his toolbox. It's Chichu and Tamu, and you want me to wrestle that out of his hands?
He's got a couple other things, but that one's got to go. It's so faggy, and we just hate it, and we're kind of holding you responsible.
You're right. No.
Shut up.
I understand. Ultimately, I'm like the coach from the Duke lacrosse team. I didn't have to be at the party to be, you know, fired or have to... tender my resignation. I understand. Ultimately, I'm responsible. All right. Well, there's someone who's for Teresa and against Chichu and Tamu. I happen to enjoy that. We need to take a break. It's only going to be for about 7 hours or so, because we're going to be at the Playboy Mansion tonight doing the show. I think it'll be live. I don't know. I don't know if it's live everywhere or in certain cities.
It's going to be live in certain cities, not here in L.A. Tomorrow morning, everyone will hear it tomorrow morning on Playboy Mansion.
Right out here in Los Angeles. Juliana DePanny from E! News. I thank her for her candor. We'll be at the Playboy Mansion tonight. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo.